I had one of those fun, you know, you're a comic moments. You know, like, I banged that girl on the farm. It was like this magical night.
Wait.
We came back. She dropped me off at the hotel, and I bump into you three.
Right up front,
fucking
yeah.
Rubes, are you four? And you guys go, we want a Panera Bread. And I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
That was it. I was hungover. I was sleepy. I was gross. But I was like, I want to hang out.
Story.
Yeah, we got to get to this. But hold on, the only
what?
People I took,
you're
the only people.
Hear it.
You didn't hear that?
No, oh, I didn't hear this.
Oh,
story.
Great.
I was all lost right. for hours.
I've redone this intro three times already. Can't get enough. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 226. Bonnaroo, the opposite of Charleston. I think Jay came up with that term. Listen, here's the episode. It's going to be so much fun. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it all. I think I'm going to do it like this. Okay, I got about 12 minutes with these kids I met at Bonnaroo from Ohio. And I got about 2 hours with all these comics I spent at Bonnaroo. Now, the only reason I'm showing you these kids instead of doing it during the intro with Davey Wester is because, first of all, we're at Bonnaroo. Great vibes. And fucking this kid, Justin, I think his name is Justin. Just, let me check to make sure. He just offered me weed. He was like, hey. He goes, hey, as I was doing the intro with Tristan, that's his name. As I was doing the intro with Ian Edwards for the Davey Wester palsy episode, he was like, hey, if you guys are sitting to my right, I love passing weed to my right. And he had a fucking blunt, and I couldn't. But then as soon as I was done with Ian, I could. And I did. I smoked the weed, everybody. We did it. So I talked to these guys. They had a great time. And the reason I'm showing them is because all these comics were such fucking pussies about drugs. And these fucking 19-year-olds, or however old they were, 20, were fucking glorious. They just fucking went right into it. So we got some good discussion with some locals, some Bonnaroo locals. And we got some great talk about our awesome experience with Michelle Wolf, Dan Soder, Big J Okerson, and Mark Norman. If you don't know who they are, they're all really solid comics. Michelle Wolf, she's one of the first people I noticed when I went out here. Moved out to New York. I was like, man, that girl's funny. Dan Soder's great. Mark Norman's been on this podcast before. Has Dan Soder never been on the podcast? Interesting. And then Jay Okerson, you guys know him. He's been on a bunch of times. Dan and Jay are starting Comedy Central Sirius on Sirius. They're starting the drive time, 6 to 8 p.m. on weekdays on Sirius. I think Channel 95, whatever the Comedy Central is. That starts July 27th. So that's about to be big. 3 to 5 West Coast time. And we all hung out at Bonnaroo. Jay and Soder brought their girlfriends, which were fine. They blended right in with the group. I mean, Jay's girlfriend, Christine, has been on this podcast also. The unicorn. And it was just a fun fucking time, you guys. It's a great vibe there. I mean, it's a great vibe. Everybody's chill and relaxed. There's drugs. Music. I mean, top shelf music. Every time I pass by a band, like on my way to some other band, I'm like, wait, who's this? They're really good. That band Jungle that I opened up the podcast with just now. I was walking by. I was like, who are they? And then you feel like you discover a band when you walk by them like that. You feel like you're really like, I found them. But the reality is you didn't really find them because they've been booked to play at the biggest music festival in North America. They're not nobodies. They're actually doing quite well. So, man, it was great. The drugs, the fucking comedy, drugs, friendship, and drugs. I had a wonderful time. I want to go every year. Ralphie came. Ralphie May was there. What an amazing treat to see Ralphie. Robert Kelly came last minute. Jeff Ross came. I saw Hardwick for a second, but just for a second. And then Natasha and Thune and Carmen Esposito and Braun Oler, they were all part of the LA contingency. We kind of broke off into groups, which is fine. And I wish somebody would have camped more with me. would have hung out more with me. But you know what? Hung out with the fucking people who worked there, and it was great. Till very late at night. Honestly, Sam, Rocky, you guys did a great job throwing this shit together. I want to go every year. I know I can't, but I want to go every year. I'm really thinking of getting an RV. We'll see. Whatever. So anyway, we just talked about our experience and all the fucking cool bands we saw. All the drugs we did. Had a fucking great time. You guys are going to love this podcast. For real. Legit. Legit. A couple dates. I got DC Improv, Washington, DC. My home road club. I mean, this is the first place. The DC Improv was the first place I did a guest spot for this, some guy. It was like a co-headlining week. First place on the road I did a guest spot. Felt like a real goddamn comic. There's only like 100 people there on a Tuesday, but I was like, the comics were like, nah, it's not very full. I was like, are you kidding me? There's almost 100 people here. This is amazing. The most I ever performed for was 18. Hi. And first place, I did a MC week for Brett Leake. God, I learned a lot from that guy. First place, I did a feature week for Jake Johansson. And now I'm headlining there for the second week, I think. Possibly third, but I think second. And I'm excited to go back. I'm going to see all my college friends, going to see my family. It's going to be fucking great. Man, I'm going to have a good time. And then me and Steve Simone are going to come back to New York. He's in Philadelphia this week, I think at Helium with Steve Byrne, but maybe on his own. But he's in Philadelphia, and I'm going to meet him on the way up. I'm going to spend a night in New York. Golden. So anyway, July 17th, 18th, and 19th, I'll be in Washington, D.C. for the first time since marijuana was legalized there. I mean, guys, that means we can have a giant smoke session outside. Oh, shit, I didn't get t-shirts. Ooh, okay, it's not too late. I can get t-shirts sent. Yeah, I guess I'll have tour shirts. I haven't been on the road in a while. Should be fun. I'm going to be loose. Anyway, come to that. And then Montreal, I'm doing a bunch of stuff. Starting on Tuesday in Montreal for the Comedy Festival. It's July 21st. Is that right? Maybe the 22nd. Whatever the Tuesday is. 21st. I'm doing a solo show, an hour-long show. 21st and 22nd. Tuesday, Wednesday, and then also Saturday. And then I'm doing This Is Not Happening Storyteller shows Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Midnight at that same fucking rad place, Cleopatra, the tranny strip club. It's where we got the idea to do the televised, the YouTube ones at a strip club. So come to that. And I think I'm doing a live. I'm tired. Played basketball today. Got a lot of sun. I am terrible. I mean, I'm terrible. God, I had energy, I guess, but I don't have a shot at all. Anyway, let's start the episode, shall we? Shall we? We shall. So I'm going to play this talk with these kids for about 10, 12 minutes, which is actually fun. They talked about drugs. They're so much more casual. So much more men about it than the fucking my friends. What a great vibe. Bonnaroo should just be called Great Vibes. I should call this episode Bonnaroo Great Vibes. But I'm not, because Jay Ogerson coined a term, Bonnaroo, the opposite of Charleston. So let's start, you guys. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. Episode 226. Bonnaroo, the opposite of Charleston. With Mark Norman, Dan Soder, Michelle Wolf, and Big Jay Okerson. And a little bit of Ian Edwards, and then also all these kids. Tristan, Hannah too, Jordan, and some guy didn't want to say his name. Here we go. Let's start the... God, this is so fucking cool. So, bless my heart, and bless yours too. I don't know where I'm gonna go, don't know what I'm gonna do. Well, must be somebody up above. say hi to these people?
Well, just do it. Fuck it. This is welcome.
Hey, you guys want to talk about Bonnaroo for a second? Awesome. Here, take a break. Hey. Tell us your highlights.
Highlight, last night, Flume rocked the fucking house. Amazing.
Yeah.
Good way to end the night. Like, I feel like they put him at the end just to, like, kill it and send everybody out for, like, that big shebang. Because everybody left today, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody was like...
Wait, people leave? People don't stay for Sunday?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people left for Sunday.
Because they play in a lot of more chill artists and stuff for today.
We were actually just talking about Rory, if you know who that is.
War?
Rory.
He's a new upcoming artist. I
played the first day.
He was on, what, Friday?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was just talking about the fact that he's a real artist because he not only sings, raps, produces his own music, makes his own videos and all that shit. He just does pretty much everything. Sorry, my voice is all messed up.
It's
all
right.
Too much screaming.
What's the drugs highlights?
Drugs highlights? Acid the first day was...
Yes. First day,
tripping balls. Everybody trips balls their first day here. Everybody goes the hardest the first day, really? I feel like.
I candy flipped, Friday, actually.
First day, yeah. Everybody got fucked
up. Thursday was the first day, but yeah, Friday.
Well,
first time, and it was...
He did acid, he can't remember.
It was magical.
We brought over 200 rolled up bloods.
Acid and acid and ecstasy?
Put that in.
It was like my first clean acid trip.
Really?
Like, yeah, I've taken acid probably like two or three other times. It was like my first like super, super clean one.
What do you mean by clean?
Like, just like...
Being able to control it?
Yeah, I don't know. I use clean as a description with tripping just between like shrooms and like acid. Because when you compare the two, people always say acid's cleaner. And like until you, I feel like you do the two, you... It's not something you can really describe. It's something you kind of just hear and feel. You know what I mean? Like, somebody says that trip was really clean, you're just kind of like...
You ever done salvia?
I get that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's dirty. Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely...
So acid the first day, candy flipping. That's great. How long did that last?
Sylvan Esso fucking rocked it. I was on like two bumps of coke and ecstasy, and I was fucking raging, man. It was so great.
That was the start of my trip with Sylvan Esso. Like, I literally took my shit.
Sylvan Esso, if Mumford and Son doesn't win King of Bonnaroo,
Mumford Son was rad.
Sylvan Esso is gonna win Queen of Bonnaroo, I bet you.
Really?
If Mumford and Son doesn't get it, Sylvan will. Dude, she had everybody from, like, Mo has it right now, but she had everybody on the side, like, all the way back. Everybody was fucking like...
And she had a huge beach ball going.
Huge ass beach ball.
I
literally took up like the whole like stage.
I don't even know where that came from. Like, yeah, I don't know where. I just saw like
in the middle of the concert too. She was
beach bug. What?
It was
a beach ball.
It was huge. Huge beach ball.
Yeah. Bonnaroo 2015.
She was even like in the middle of the stage. She was like, give me the beach ball, guys. And we pushed it up to her. And she like had... The dude had it in his hand.
Yeah. At first we couldn't. They were like, the people like on stage and everything were like, no, not the beach ball.
And then we brought it up there.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, she's amazing.
It was crazy, man.
He is really, too. He makes all the music right off the bat.
Have you seen anybody, lose it?
What?
Have you seen anybody lose it? Any of your friends fucking...
Who?
Go bad?
Yeah,
lose it?
Oh, G did.
Yeah, G.
G got some... it was, like, ecstasy with a lot of sass in it, and he didn't think it would, like, affect him like it did, but his eyes were, like...
It literally, 15 minutes after he took it, he was, like... You could do, like, a train fucking hit his face, bro. Like,
he couldn't even, like, walk.
He couldn't even talk. He was just like, I just want to sit down.
Leave him? What'd you do?
We took
we
care of him.
Down.
We just smoked a blunt with him, and then he was all right.
I mean, we knew, like, after that first initial wave of drugs,
it,
like, gets way more calm afterwards. Like,
when you know how high up it's going to get.
Exactly.
I feel like the worst thing to do is restrain somebody.
Exactly.
Because then they're like, get off.
I know.
The worst thing to do is, like, baby them, too. Like, if they're tripping super hard and you're like, oh, my God, are you okay?
Yeah,
like,
don't take care.
You just got to bump them up. Like, dude, you're going to be fucking fine. Let's do this shit. Like, let's go. Like, that's exactly what we did to G, and he eventually, like, bumped up, and we started getting it some more.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It came in waves, though. It was weird.
Dude, that initial hit.
Do you think he would describe that as a good trip or a bad trip?
A bad trip.
You still think? even after it came around?
Yeah. Dude, he said he would never take ecstasy again, even though he took ecstasy the next day. he said he would never take it again. Never again.
It was good overall. That's what I think.
Yeah. He was like, he said it was a horrible trip, though. A horrible.
Oh, what are you going to do?
The song.
Exactly. How are those shrooms today,
like,
Jordan?
Pass out next to me, and he almost hit me, and like he fell into this guy's arms and just kind of like was out. He was limp. He was just done.
Oh, and this dude
had to drag him out of the crowd. Like, I was like, oh
really?
My God, are you okay?
Yeah, like, yeah. Those dudes are fucking the fuck. This dude at Kendrick, we're like all fucking getting it. And he is so drunk. He literally, I don't even know how he made it into like the crowd we were in. There are people literally laying down. He literally trampled them. Like, I don't know how he was still standing up. Just like literally stomping all over them.
I almost did that Governor's Ball in New York. I was like, we were in line for beer. And I just gave money to my friend. I was like, I gotta go sit down.
Yeah, like he literally was stepping all over
people. Yeah, know your limit. I gotta sit down. I'll be okay.
I love the fact though.
I've been everywhere the second day. I puked right in line for the fucking water. I was sitting there. I was like, oh, God, here we go. Fuck. And everyone's cheering me on. Like,
everybody got their first puke out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I went and got more water.
I puked the first fucking day.
All right, we're good.
First day.
I mean, it's bonnery for you, though. Puke and rally. That's the
motto. Signs everywhere. I saw a sign that this guy held up. He was like, puke and rally. And I was like, yeah, puke and rally. And these people around me are like, what's puke and rally?
Like, you'll like,
puke and get back to it?
Yeah.
Oh God, I love it. Exactly. Yeah. That's true, though. You can.
Everybody has to get through that puke. I went through it first fucking day. I drank way too hard, like, getting that Bonnaroo. Like, didn't eat shit. Like, yacked it all up.
My shit together.
Do you feel like it's a failure or a success?
Definitely a success. I don't know.
I feel like you don't puke that much, though.
With alcohol, I do. Like, if I, like, I don't know, if I mix some weird alcohol or something or some fruity drinks, like, I don't know, that'll upset my stomach. But drugs and hallucinogens, I don't know.
Hell yeah.
How many times you guys been here?
First year.
Me too. You're second? It's fun as shit.
Dude, Bonnaroo is, there's nothing
it's
like
so
it.
It's so friendly, too, right? Everyone's so nice.
That's what I was about to say. No fights or anything.
Do it. Like, you can literally
try to explain to someone what Bonnaroo's like, but until you go and you actually live it, you can't really explain it. Like,
yeah, it's
like
a community.
You're never alone. You can walk around in a crowd of people you don't know, but sit down next to some random ass person and have a great conversation, smoke a blunt, like, who knows, whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Like, somebody's gonna come up and check on you, like, hey, are you okay? And like, if you mumble and be like, yeah, I'm cool, they'll keep going, like, you're cool.
Yeah, they shine the flashlight on me, and I just gave them the thumbs up, and they're like, cool. And I just keep going.
Hey, yup.
Everyone watches each other's back. It's awesome.
It's like, I got what it might look like. I just want to lay here. I'm cool.
Yeah. They did that to me as well.
Really?
I forgot about that. I was just laying down, and then I got a flashlight on me, and I looked up, and they were like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I could make you leave, but they just let you sit there. It's great.
Well, yeah, that's like the...
Are you guys tenting? Are you guys all tenting?
Yeah. Oh, it sucks.
We got amazing
spots,
though.
We actually got lucky because we are in the woods.
We came really early.
There's five spots in Bonner that have like wooded areas, and we got lucky enough to get here and get one. So,
like, it's like 20 degrees chiller. Like,
hammocks up.
Close. Like, yeah, so it's not that far.
10 minutes away from Centaroo.
Is that where all the trails were? Like in between the... Oh, that looked cool. That looked cool to like walk around in.
Dude, it's literally like 20 degrees cooler.
They've got giant chess boards, like life-size chess boards, and people are like moving around and playing with them. It's awesome. I love it.
And it's nice because like right outside that pod, it's like everything. Like I feel like at the other pod, you kind of have to walk some sort of a distance in the hot sun to get somewhere where you need to be, like whether it's shitting or fucking some water.
Yeah.
Literally outside of our pod, it's like in the sun for like 5 seconds and then back in the woods. Like,
that's the worst part about camping anywhere. It's just as soon as the sun comes up, you're done sleeping.
Jesus.
It's just a bake.
Oh.
Yeah. It gets hot.
It's
at least it didn't rain while we were
ruthless.
Here.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know. I think that would have been pretty cool.
Oh, thank you. No, that would have made it so much more humid, man. That would have ruined my face.
And so muddy.
I would have cried. Literally would have cried. There's so much mud to begin with already. I would have fucking cried my eyes out.
Yeah.
Because people were literally, like, all the people who didn't get to go to Bonnaroo were, like, cursing us. Like, I heard it's going to rain all week. Like,
they wanted us to have a
good time. You bastards. I'm like, fuck you, it's not gonna rain.
They're like, you guys aren't gonna have any fun, it's gonna rain, it's gonna be all muddy.
People are so jealous. People
exactly.
I've never heard any of this.
Dude, I heard all of this.
You guys jealous. I'm just telling you I'm going. Why are you mad at me?
Exactly, like, be happy for me. Like, I'm going to fucking Bonnaroo. Like, what are you talking about? Stop trying to kill it. Like,
where are you guys all from?
Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's cool. I know somebody from there.
So no wonder they were hating. Got to get out.
I live in New York. They live in Los Angeles.
Oh, so, yeah. So you guys are already out,
yeah,
man.
What are you guys doing podcasts for?
I have a podcast.
I like that.
It's on iTunes and stuff, yeah. So we're just doing one here.
What's it called? I'll
it's called Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank.
All right, we're going to have to write that down. Somebody get their phone out.
I will remember that.
Just Skeptic the Skeptic Tank. Just remember that part. That'll
Skeptic
be good enough.
Tank. All right.
Yeah.
Siri, that's all pretty right. dope.
On iTunes?
Yeah.
Anywhere else? Like
my website, Ari Shaffir.
Hell yeah.
Ari Shaffir.
All right.
You're not going to remember this. I'm trying to remember how you'll remember this.
Exactly.
Ari the Great. Put it Ari the Great. You're not going to remember that either. Nah,
he's
right.
especially right. the worst iTunes. Out of probably the worst at listening in the entire group.
You did him earlier today?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, how were those shrooms? He gave me his acid for my shrooms.
You traded shrooms to acid?
3 days in a row, like on acid. I was like, dude, fuck that. I can't sit here and trip on acid another day.
Yeah, I knew.
I'm like, dude, I would trade you your shrooms for my acid right now. Won't even think twice.
Yeah, I've been taking acid every day, so I knew that acid wasn't gonna make me trip balls, so that's why I wanted
exactly.
the acid.
Like, if you do it too many times, like,
I didn't want to trip super hard.
Yeah, then it's like then it's just chasing a dragon.
I don't have
you gotta switch drugs. Exactly. Don't mix, but yes,
I just have
switch.
One.
Then it becomes like a drug co-op and everyone supplies their own.
The Tesla is so nice. It gets you rolling so hard. You just feel music and it's
dude, I don't even know what rolling is, man. They gave me some fucking ecstasy, and I just was like, what the hell? I don't understand drugs like that. It makes me feel like I'm on Adderall. Like, it feels exactly like Adderall to me.
The first time, I saw Pretty Lights was on some ecstasy. I was like, oh, I get it now. Oh yeah,
took a goddamn fucking whatever the hell, lightning bolt or some shit. They fucking took it, and I guess they were like, and I had 2.5 bumps of coke, bro. Like,
all right, this broke it down. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, no problem.
You guys want to say your names or no?
I'm Tristan. I'll go as anonymous.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Jordan.
Very nice. Nice to meet you guys. All from Ohio. Yeah, thanks for soaking me up, too.
Yeah, no problem.
Why you gonna know my name? Why you gonna know my name?
You guys hearing this guitar? That's a man using an instrument. Oh my god, he's so fucking good. He's so fucking good at guitar. Let's hear more. Let's just hear more. Let's just hear more. Fucking beat the odds with it.
Really?
It did beat the odds.
He had about as much of a fucking like hot puss career as you could with those fucking cheeks.
I didn't know he had craters.
Yeah. All right, I'll figure out a way to do this. How are we going to do this?
Belzer?
Sure.
Belzer's rocking that shit.
I'll be in there too if you guys all have to talk.
Michelle and I, we'll just right here. Here's the movement.
You got it.
Okay.
Michelle, you were at Bonnaroo.
I got the four mics on it.
Yeah.
The fight with Micah Fox. Is it going to happen?
Well, yeah. Reunion of Bonnaroo crew.
Yeah. Good to be back.
This was indeed the crew. We did. Someone mentioned the other day that we kind of sectioned off into L.A.
Yeah, we did.
New York.
But I feel like they were on a different schedule.
Huh? Yeah, so was Norman was on a different schedule, too.
Yeah, but I did a little mix and matching.
Who named
named you. Was it you?
Yeah, I called. I said him and I said Ari and Norman won the outdoor cat award because both of you two, Ari and Norman, you would just see him and you'd be like, "Hey, there's Ari," and then you'd be like, "Where'd Ari go?" You're like, "Hey, he'll turn up."
Yeah. Come back. And then I was like, I'd be worried about Norman for like a little bit, and I'd be like, "Where does anyone see him?" And then he'd just show up again like 7 hours later, being like, "I had the best time. I saw things.
Just right. sweating.
I have a new He's cup." Like,
turns out, I'm in the Alabama Shakes now.
Right. Like, right.
What?
But the difference between you and me, outdoor cat wise, is when I found you guys again, I was like, "Thank God." But Ari's like, "Oh, hey, good to see you again."
Yeah, Ari's like, "I'm going to sleep here under this tree."
Hey, guys, I'm just going to freshen up my war paint. Get back out
there. Right, right.
Get back out there in the land.
How about you guys not go out there much into, like, the Gen Pop?
Yeah, you guys stuck together.
No, we walked through tents once. Was that with you when we walked through tents?
Uh-huh.
That
yeah.
was the only time I was really out in the popular.
I stayed tethered to the comedy area.
Yeah, but I mean, just like even like in the regular field and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I walked around there.
The only time I went out into the like field area to watch Deadmau5, and I was like, immediately, I was like, I have to get out of here because it looked like there were so many plastic bottles on the ground. I felt like we were in an apocalypse.
And then, I was the one that had to go track Christine and Jay, who were walking ahead of us.
Yeah.
So it was a real like Braveheart moment with people like me running at people and people being like, just like flying by me.
Hey, you hold up. Like, hold up.
Michelle's freaking out. I must go tell the leader of the group that we need to hold up. He's the leader of the pack right now.
He said, Michelle's not handling it. And you go to Michelle, he goes, "You cool?" And she'd be like, "I'm having a great time."
Yeah.
That's right.
Everyone thought I was having a terrible time.
Wait, your face.
You know why? Because you'd be giggly, smiley, and then if someone stopped paying attention to you for like 5 minutes, you just go, you just sink down. You totally
I was
sink
just
down.
Thinking so much, right. And I couldn't say out loud any of the stuff I was thinking about. And then
Earth,
I was,
wind, and fire.
I was having a great time.
Yeah. Oh,
there was a lot of that. Where
they're all elements.
Yeah. I don't know about like for music festivals, just like it made me think a bunch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just like out of your element kind of stuff.
Well, you'd stay by yourself and just lay on a hill and listen to music.
It's great. That's what I love doing.
I know.
Sit on a hill. Sit on the grass.
Looking at cloud shapes.
Yeah.
I was just walking around like appreciating everything. Like, hey, I can go to the bathroom whenever I want, and these animals can't.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I got cold water. I'll just pour it over my head. I don't give a fuck.
You know what? I'm gonna soak my feet with bottled water just because I can.
The price of water at those festivals does blow my mind. How when you see the available water backstage, like how they really take a shower in that way. They don't give a shit. There's pallets.
We should have liberated some of it.
I did.
Well, I love how even behind where Alabama Shakes was and where Mumford and Sons was,
right there,
all those pallets. And we were like, can we take them? And then they didn't look at us weird. They're like, yeah, sure. I mean, whatever.
Right.
For drinking.
I think Jay and Christine, you guys grabbed like 9 bottles of water at one point. And then I was living that backpack life.
Oh, so that's right.
Everyone
backpack.
I was the camel of the group.
Yes.
BPL.
Yeah, I was the donkey, El Burro.
Yeah.
I got this. Yeah. Oh, I don't have any free hands. Just give it to me.
Put it in my pouch.
I'd be like, dude, you don't got to carry it. You don't want to carry a book bag around. He's like, I'm good. You had linen pants on. You
I'm still wearing them right now.
I have never had a better sense of direction than I did there. I am terrible with directions, but the whole time I knew exactly where I was going all the time.
Oh, come
on.
I
found like these
not
little
me.
Back.
No, not me. We got lost a few times.
No, you got lost.
There was a lot of that where I'm like, everybody's going this way. I'm like, I'm pretty positive it's the other direction.
Yeah,
and you
have
to be like, I'll go with the group because
wait for my girlfriend to answer. Then I would go.
Hold on, I hear.
I'd be like, which way are we going, right or left? And she'd be like, right. And I'd be like, she's my pussy Sherpa.
Right. You're in the woods. Yeah. All right.
Oh, Christine,
we're going right.
Yeah.
Christine gave me a week after we were home. Shit about something that like she's like, I knew that you were going the wrong way. I just didn't say anything. I go, well, you could have helped us if you really. I'm pretty sure I followed the directions right. She got the guy's shitty directions and took.
It was
them.
Just weird going up and back around to like the two different main stages.
Can we not talk about the fact
catacombs.
That the coolest part was walking through that tunnel? No one can get into Kendrick Lamar, and we're backstage, and Norman's college buddies with the guy.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
You know what? That was the most random
a weird
shit
world. Moment.
What but happened? You did such. He saw him and he goes, hey! And I forget
Steve.
The guy's name.
Brad.
You go, Brad! And he's
that's
like.
Such a college buddy name.
Yeah, Brad! We used to call him Brad Pitt because he's so unattractive. Yeah, that was so weird. And I was on shrooms, too, and it was weirdly lit. You know?
And who was there? The bassist of the Alabama Shakes
that's
was standing
right.
there.
That's right, and
you
Jay started talking to him.
Anything other than that lead singer? I was focused
no,
on
he
her
was standing
completely.
Next to us while we were waiting to get backstage for Kendrick Lamar.
Fuck.
Somebody else made it obvious that it was him, though, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Justin did. That's what kind of actually... Justin. I was talking to the dude, like normal. We were having a normal conversation.
What's up, dickbag?
Yeah, and then like Justin really stepped in and changed the vibe.
With his agent.
Oh, he goes,
wait, what do you do?
Right,
and
right.
I'm in the Alabama Shakes. And I knew, and the guy, and then Justin's like, oh, that's pretty crazy playing for that many people. And the guy's like, did he just shut down?
Yeah.
We had him.
I saw that.
You got to treat these people like norms.
You got to treat him like a normal, he was a normal dude. And because all I said to him was like, hey, man, that was a, you did a great job. And he goes, oh, thanks, man. And then we like started talking, and that's when it came in, and you're like, it was like a bomb coming in. You're like, no!
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
Alabama Shakes, is that a band here or something?
Yeah. Yeah, you look like a hairy fag. He's like, what?
I heard something about Lawrence Taylor once, some sports writers with him, and there was just like walking along after practice, and some kid was in the stands, and he was like, can I get an autograph? And he was like, nah. And then the sports writer was like, all right, whatever. And they walked a few paces more. He's like, why not, man? I was just a kid. What's the problem? Like, it's cool, but what's the problem? He's like, fine. And he went over there, and like, two more people showed up.
Yep.
Because, and then,
yep,
like, four,
yep,
more people. And then it's like a mob of people. He just turns around to the sports writer and is like, see?
Yeah. Not to take it down a notch, but that happened to Jeff Ross quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah, everywhere we went.
Oh, yeah, you went rogue with him.
Picture, and it was like one guy would do one, then it just never ended. We were on shrooms. I freaked out.
I get being annoyed by that completely, but that is just like...
That's what Jeff loves.
Part of the job. Well, he loves it.
He loves it.
That's part of the job, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's a shitty part of the job.
But you know, I mean, it's shitty because.
But like that guy was having a nice conversation with Soder, and then suddenly he's like, all right,
shut him
down. I
think Justin was just like trying to say hello.
Not on purpose.
But just like the energy was. And I was on mushrooms, so that's all I was about. I was just like, I'm feeling this energy coming from over here.
To two years in the comedy, though, if you were like 40 people are going to get in a circle around you, want you to. I mean, you'd be like, no fucking way.
But right, right.
Like, you around fans is different than you around your friends.
For
so,
sure.
Like, he made it like a. He had to be in business mode then, you know, like where it's like, oh, I have to talk to this guy and I have to pretend I'm.
What was the Jeff Ross thing like? Were people just coming up at it everywhere?
Oh, my God. We're trying to watch Jason Clark Duncan.
That sounds like
Gary Clark.
That's
Gary Clark.
Who was amazing.
Yeah, that's the one.
Sounds like a basketball player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to Maryland. He got picked up by the Mavs, I think.
Yeah.
Round trip.
Gary James.
Cleveland.
Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
Did he kill a president or was he a point guard?
Larry John Nash Bird. No. So we were watching him and we were all getting into it and we ate the shrooms and they were kicking in and we were sweaty and then one guy gets a picture and then another guy goes, Jeff Ross! And everybody turns and it's a whole thing. Yeah. But the cool thing was I get to see myself in all these pictures tagged on Instagram like 3 weeks later. You know,
you don't remember the moments?
No, I don't remember any of it. Just like arm around a hippie, arm around a girl.
How great was Gary Clark Jr.?
Oh, man.
I'd never heard him before, and I fell in love with him.
I saw him at Outside Lands that Rocky also books, I guess.
Yeah.
But like, and I was like, what the fuck? This guy's great. And I wasn't that close like we were.
Yeah, he was so good.
It's just his fingers moving.
Can I give a real critique? This is, by the way, if someone was doing this to comedians right now, I'd be furious.
It'd be funny if Jay's critique was he doesn't wail.
No, he definitely, I think his like definitely guitar wails. Playing, like solos were all amazing, but I thought the song was just like very like same old blues, blues riffs. But when he goes on and starts just playing, the instrumentals were unreal.
I feel like his songs are like just like a couple verses so
he like
can
so he can play.
That's exactly what I felt like.
Guitar's the lead singer.
Where he was like, here you go, and now watch me noodle.
Because the actual songs were all like that.
He's like, I went downtown. All right, I'm just going to solo. Yeah. Guys, he just breaks character. I'm just going to
When I saw him at Outside, it was like a year and a half ago, and it was like he was just that blues guitar, and I feel like he's now trying to do songwriting. I might be way wrong.
No, but
like,
I mean, that
so
sounds...
Like he's getting
his first album's got great songs on it. I mean, you listen to his first album, it's really fucking good. It's got really good songs. So I think maybe he was just doing new shit.
Wow.
Well, that's, he kept saying he was doing new stuff.
Oh, really?
He was doing the comic equivalent of pulling out a notebook. Yeah. He's like,
right.
I don't know. You guys want me to play this one?
But it's also like that other guy, the Desperado guy.
Yeah.
He was awesome. He looked like a professional wrestler.
Great. He did.
The whole thing up there looked like a band of killers.
Yeah.
It was like, who are these people?
It was awesome.
And then the weird thing is you see him at the food court. You're like, oh, hey, what's up, dude?
Still wearing his poncho.
Yeah. Jeff Ross is like, you killed it. And the guy's like, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
That's like weird music to have like a character in the band.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if he's a character or if he just wore those clothes.
It's not a Bonnaroo choice.
No, that's a character.
Maybe you're right.
That's definitely a poncho.
They're
you think all day he wears a poncho?
Just doing all day around the house.
They're like, hey, I wanted to ask you about your friend Ryan. What's up with the poncho? He just wears it.
Hey man, when we're on the store and grab a six pack with me? Like, let me grab my poncho.
Have you seen my teal poncho?
Hey babe,
no, it's, come on, it's,
hey babe, send my poncho.
Just get the light one. I tweeted at him. I said it was like so good. He tweeted back, thanks.
Wow, what? Nice.
You have a Twitter relationship with Poncho Guy?
No, not Poncho Guy.
Gary Clark Jr.
That's
whoa. Awesome.
Yeah. You gotta have him on the podcast.
Do you live in New York?
Austin.
Oh.
Uh-huh, that makes sense.
So many microphones.
Michelle, what do you think about this?
Feel like Ari and I are reporters.
How do you feel about the Confederate flag?
Yeah, she's just a cop. She's like a lawyer that we're mobbing outside of a courthouse.
Michelle, it's a crime. It is a guilty. Did
Michelle,
it
is your red hair fake?
Everyone's saying. The body was found in his residence.
It's just so much pressure. There's so much pressure.
This is how they used to do interviews in the old days before they figured out two mics.
Yeah.
They were just like, so what do you say?
Yeah, really.
So wait, okay, so you saw Gary Clark Jr. on mushrooms from the back?
Yeah.
When did you take mushrooms? That was so early.
Some guy gave them to Jeff. It was like a chocolate bar, broke it in half.
Yeah, Jeff. That's right, Jeff did the
God,
mushrooms.
The fans were so great.
They were great.
With just like, oh, hey, here.
But we really had a pretty incredible time.
That was
like,
great,
hard time
yeah.
finding weed.
Yeah, because we didn't get out there into whatever you guys call it.
You were out there?
And you truly did go native.
You're like, man, you got to understand. I was in Tent City. I was in Tent City for 7 hours. But that's where I buy shit from Tent City. I talk to people later. Tent City, they just walk up and down.
All those people from all those cities connected together. We were all brought together. The music binds the group.
If we just stayed till like 3 or 4 every night, we could have gotten everything we needed to.
Next time we can't find Ari, we should hit a conch shell. Ooh. Comes out of a tree.
he's crouched down with his hands on the floor, too. That's how he comes out. You guys go home.
He's got a spear.
Can't go home. We can't go home.
What?
It's too late for me. You guys go. Tell my give my family good word that I'm surviving.
All of his toes are showing from his shoes.
Yeah.
They're all ripped through.
He's just eating funnel cake like a squirrel.
Yeah.
Just looking around.
He's eating Ralphie May.
You drop a boulder on Ralphie's head. He's going full blown Lord of the Flies.
Because Ralphie's piggy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, in this story,
I got snowed.
Thank
in.
God, or else I'm piggy. Just so you know.
What?
Just so you know, I got the silver medal in that contest.
You're like, look, it's him. You guys get him, not me. Everyone.
I'm definitely a Sunday stand-in for the Lord of the Flies play.
You podium to the podium.
Hey, we need to get Ralphie's lighting down. Jay, you swing it through here
tonight. The role of Ralphie will be played by Jay Okerson.
Jay, do me a favor. Can you slightly pull your shirt out ever so
Jay's
gently?
Like, no, I was just closest to the stage. That's all.
Oh, I think the guy just knew. I think he only knew
can
me.
You do Jay, can you do a Texas accent?
Arkansas.
Oh, Ralphie.
What do we think of the mushrooms, by the way?
Good times.
Did everybody here do them?
Yeah.
Best thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Wow.
Have you ever done mushrooms before?
No, I've never done them before. I feel like now, like the week after sucked because I was like, I'm not on mushrooms anymore.
Wow.
I feel you.
Yeah, I had like a horrible like week after, and now even I honestly, it's dumb, but I feel like a different person.
Yeah. Wow.
Like I was like, I don't know. I was all this stuff. I was like, I just all of a sudden realized a bunch of stuff, and I was like, yeah, it's all true.
Wait, that's not dumb. What do you mean?
No, now I want to do mushrooms all the time.
What did you
realize?
That's like really
that's what you discovered? That's what you discovered? I'm a changed person. Now I have an addiction to mushrooms.
I have an addiction. I'm a drug addict. I just realized I can do everything by myself. Like I've always been a very independent person, but I was like, I was walking around being like, oh yeah, I'm doing very well in my career. I'm super capable, and I'm confident that I can just. I'm independent and confident, and I have
Jesus.
I can do it. Everything that I want to do, I can do it.
What a Stuart Smalley trip!
Right. This is believing
I'm good
yourself.
Enough. I'm great enough.
Yeah.
And I was like,
gosh
I was
darn it,
like,
people
all
like
all the like stuff I was like self conscious about. I was like,
I'm
no,
an 8 foot tall goddess.
If people don't like me, they're not going to like me. I can say whatever I want to say. Like I'm not going to self edit.
I like Michelle came out with some real Floyd Mayweather confidence.
Yeah.
She's like, what did I realize? I realized I'm the best comic on the planet.
Right.
No one's even a close second.
That money,
Michelle, money Wolf.
Yeah,
Wolf's give money.
You gotta quit comedy. Become a motivational speaker.
That's right. At what point did you realize all this in the mushroom trip?
I don't. It was sometime in the middle of the. Oh, you know what it was?
The tree.
Part of it was when a guy came up to Danny and he like poked her or something.
Oh,
like that.
Cool! I wasn't there for that.
You guys were like a couple steps ahead, and she was like,
the batch on her back.
And the guy kept going after her, and I just go to him. I go, "Hey, fucking get off her! She doesn't want you to touch her. Go away." And then it was like right after that where I was like, oh, yeah, I can take care of myself and other people.
Dan's girlfriend was accosted, and we're just getting word of this now.
It just shows you how...
Dan, no idea.
Apparently, I'm in a fractured relationship. Because she's getting assaulted, and Michelle's bailing. She's sort of Thelma and Louise.
Sarah's over there fucking like, dancing like a hippie chick.
She was like, she got a little, like, not scared, but it was just like... She couldn't really say no, yeah. You know? And I was just like...
Oh, another great tendency for your long-distance girlfriend to have.
She just kind of goes with the flow, whatever you suggest, man.
I think she could talk her into most things. Meanwhile, yeah, just running ahead. I gotta see Deadmau5. But I didn't even want to see it.
But yeah, no, so now I just realized I'm better than everyone. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So after mushrooms, you realize you could save Dan's girlfriend's life if you needed to.
Turns out Michelle's a vigilante.
You go full blown Chuck Bronson.
I think that's a great description of what happened to you and what you realized.
Don't go to me next then because it's going to be a real swing down.
Well, by the way, I just would like to take this opportunity after Michelle said that to say that Shroom Fest is August 29th, 30th, and 31st this year.
Everybody.
No, it's all over the world.
Oh, really?
So we can do it
like
here?
Like St. Patrick's Day or Christmas.
That's amazing. I was going to say, I'm going to be in L.A., so that would be...
Yeah, well, people all over the world are doing mushrooms, so find some mushrooms.
You are the Santa of this holiday, though, right? Like it is.
I'm a guy who first heard about it, maybe, from the mushrooms. But the point is, it's out there, and it's August 29th, 30th, and 31st this year. So
it's become quite successful.
What a great second time or third or fourth time to do mushrooms.
Yeah, that'd be great. How do you get mushrooms?
Okay, you have to know degenerates.
Oh, yeah, I don't.
So what we had, the reason we had mushrooms in Bonnaroo is because I have degenerate fans. And one of them said I reached out about how to find it or something, or somebody was like, dude, I can bring some in for you. And I was like, hey, I think he said for me. And I was like, dude, I want to buy some for you for all the comics. Wow. And he was like, yeah, sure. I'll just bring extra in.
You really are. You're like a pixie fairy of enlightenment.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. But like, yeah,
find shit mushrooms.
Waiters at comedy clubs and shit and ask them.
What?
You're not going to just like go up to someone and be like,
no,
hey,
a waiter at a comedy club? You go into.
No, but it's like you look like you could be trouble.
They do. They all do.
Yeah.
Or they'd be like, no, not me, but hold on. Give me a second. And they go, Tom, come
Alfonso
here.
Alfonso works tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I was in Minnesota at House of Comedy, and I had my purse in the green room, and one of the chefs there, cooks, whatever, was like, he's talking about how he has like a weed business. And then I go back into my purse at the end of the night, like I go to grab it, and there's like a container full of weed.
That
he picture put in of the, my niece.
He put in there that just said, you're welcome.
Wow.
I was in Minnesota by myself with a ton of weed and nothing to smoke it with.
Uh-huh. That's a little...
The world's biggest mall, you can't find something to smoke it with?
I don't know how to do that stuff.
She's at the Lego shop. She's like, do you guys got any screens?
Okay. Here's let me tell you the secret to this. Uh-huh. You take a few rolling papers and you just keep it in your wallet.
You're not
going
to figure that out, how to roll that.
Oh, you don't know how to roll?
Yeah, that's tough.
There's YouTube videos.
I feel like I could figure that out.
There's YouTube videos. For sure you can.
But I did Google...
Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Here's what you do. Most hotels that you're on the road in have apples. Get an apple, poke a hole in the top, poke a hole in the side, and smoke out of that.
Yeah. Wait, do the holes have to connect?
Yes, clearly. Oh,
okay. This guy I know in Central Washington made a gravity bong out of a Gatorade container, cut off the bottom.
Oh, yeah, the 32 ounce.
And just like pulled it up in a hotel sink.
Yeah. I've done that.
I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, but I can't do gravity bongs anymore.
Oh, yeah. We all, me, Jay, and Christine did a gravity bong.
Oh, man. And it fucking shut down the day, man. We loaded two bowls worth of the gravity bong.
Thin bowls. They're not thick bowls. Those are small bowls. Those are the champagne glass.
And it was this fucking cylinder that was like the thickness of like, I don't know what, like PVC pipe or something. It was pretty thick.
And it
just pulled it in, and four of us shared two bowls. And then we're like, oh, let's sit and watch TV. TV never went on. Ari's buddy was in the corner. He was just kind of sitting in a chair. And I was like actively in my having a dialogue in my head about fighting off whatever panic attack I'm about to go into. From my I'm like my hands are going numb, and I'm just like all these things, and I'm like, well, I'll look over at Christine. Like, Christine handles weed pretty well, so she'll just be kind of zoned and enjoying it, and I'll be like, yeah, I'll get into that. I look over at Christine, and Christine just almost like shaking her head no.
And then, no.
And I look
over at Ari.
And Ari's got his back against the wall and his knees bent. He's sitting on the floor with his knees bent, and he's hugging his knees and rocking sort of back and forth. And I was like, Ari, like there's a little boy doing exactly what you're doing in my head right now. my head's just empty, and it's just like Ari in a thing like, I just want to go home.
Yeah.
I just want to go home.
We used to do them with milk gallons in high school. That's what we would
do. You do like a bathroom sink. Right?
Yeah,
like
but I bought a tub at like a Home Depot.
Gallons.
And then you'd cut the milk bottom out of a milk gallon with the thing, like the big plastic ones, and you do those. And it made a couple of my friends vomit. Like, a couple of people got so high.
Wow.
One of my friends was just standing there, and he just went, and just threw up. But they were the worst. I thought I had a heart attack in college.
Do you know what I just realized?
There's so much smoke in you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I just remembered and completely forgot?
Yeah.
When I first started. When I first started smoking weed regularly, call it like, I don't know, 26 or something like that, with any regularity, every time I smoke weed, I would puke. I would cough till I puked.
And you kept smoking?
For like probably like 6 months to a year.
Whoa. That's commitment.
Yeah.
Did you ever come to my third floor apartment in Queens? Where I lived like I don't think so.
No, I only lived when you and
the house was the first thing you came to. Yeah. Well, it was one across from Nate, but it was a third floor apartment. It was a balcony. I was smoking on my balcony, and every day I was smoke and just puke off the balcony.
Oh, wow.
Every day.
There's a little kid that grew up with walking outside every morning with puke on his because of Jay. He's like, yeah, I grew up in Queens. You don't know how bad it was. I wake up every day, someone would throw up in my backyard. Boom, right there.
Front of the building, and it was
great.
It was actually the better. It was like Indian people live right below us. It was Indian and super ethnic Asian.
So they didn't know. They thought they pissed off a god.
I don't know what I did wrong with
the karma. We brought it on ourselves for enjoying television.
I told you he had to be a doctor. You did not let him be a doctor.
Did you guys do that thing where you would blow smoke into your friend's mouth while you both like stood up?
What?
You stand against the wall, like kneel down, and then you both inhale while you stand up. Never did that?
No.
Oh my god, you immediately fall right back down. It's a
really?
Hell of a time. Yeah,
we used to take
are you talking about nitrous balloons?
No weed, but you'd use like a brown paper towel roll and blow it in your friend as they went up.
Huh.
It was crazy.
You're probably, yeah, it's just lack of oxygen.
Yeah it really works.
It's not the weed. At that point you're just
I like for it to work you have to fall back down.
Yeah.
You know, when you lose oxygen to your brain and you collapse, you're like, that's a pretty good high.
Yeah, we
so inventive as a society for drugs.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I constructed things. You've never built a thing in your life.
Ever.
Except for like a good bong.
And my entertainment center.
Dude,
my
the creativity in those glass pipes on the streets.
Yeah.
These are fucking amazing.
We used to take, shotguns where you just flip it and blow, like you put you flip the joint around and blow
your
through.
Friend, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we'd do that with blunts, but then my friend invented a thing. I don't think he invented it. He just started doing it called a body bag. Where you would take a blunt,
Jesus.
Put it in your mouth, and then zip a little duffel bag, and then just pour smoke out, and then take the blunt out, and then just breathe in. It was the dumbest thing in the world. But that was one of those things where I'm like, the science behind that is so faulty.
Right.
You're letting all that smoke escape.
Yeah.
No, bro, but you don't get it.
Well, I'm just breathing it in.
All the different kind of paraphernalia. That's why I said my the wax and shit like that, like it's, I never would keep it around. Like I'm always just, it's very traditionally, like, I'd rather just smoke joints and bowls.
Yeah,
like, I don't know about all those like the dabs. Like,
no,
the dabs and all that shit is like too much.
It gets me cloudy. It gets me really cloudy.
There's a line with smoking pot where it starts feeling other druggy.
Yeah.
Where you're like, this feels like a heavy drug we're doing.
Mm,
when I worked in Alaska, they used to do knifers at lunch.
What? What does that mean?
You worked in Alaska?
Yeah, for the summer in between my freshman and sophomore year, I worked at a cannery.
He worked at a cannery? Fish?
Yeah.
You got a Shanghai'd?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite soda facts. Fun facts.
Yeah.
You really wanted to become an alcoholic.
Yeah, I chased alcoholism. Yeah. It didn't chase me.
You just went like,
you're like Wolverine.
Yeah. I'm actually 57.
You went deadliest catch for a while?
Yeah. Guys, I was also the 1976 super middleweight champion.
If you put a mustache on Soder, he's been on America's Most Wanted for the last 15 years.
The name Dan Soder, he was a 16-year-old in Orlando that I killed.
He waited to come back for that show to be canceled.
You adopted a kid just to not take care of it?
Yeah. Just to get, yeah.
His real name's John Houston.
If you see my ex-wife Valerie, she lives in Santa Fe. I've been dead since the Reagan administration. But we used to do knifers where they would take, it's almost like dabs, but they would take, we drank a plastic fifth of Captain Morgan's and cut the bottom out, which is a very common theme with my weed smoking. It's cutting of plastic things.
Knife!
So they had this empty fifth plastic thing of Captain Morgan's that we would use. They called it the Hooter in Alaska. They're like, you got the Hooter? And then they would take little balls of
Why are they from Texas?
Because if you've ever been to Alaska, rural parts, they're almost like you took the state of Alabama and put it in the Pacific Northwest.
Really?
Yeah, they're hillbillies.
They're hillbillies.
They're hicks.
And they're like, when I found out the difference between two types of salmons at one point when I was working on the dock, I told my boss that. He goes, Dan can't even tell the difference between a red and a chum. And I go, no, I had an epiphany. And he goes, a what? A period? And you're like, oh this is why you live up here.
Like, in your book, pretty much the same.
But a lot of the guys that were my age were super good kids, but potheads, best weed I've ever smoked.
Yeah, Alaskan Thunderfuck.
How'd you get the job?
My aunt lived up there, so I would drop her off at work. And then I just go to the docks like fucking the Incredible Hulk, like Bruce Banner.
You just roam the day trying to solve the city's problems.
Dude, it was how I got hired is beyond me, because it really was. Clearly, they were like, "You're a criminal. You're showing up out of nowhere."
I watched Deadliest Catch a lot.
Yeah,
and,
I knew two of the guys on season one worked the summer with me.
Yeah,
in Kenai.
It's like people go up there because they can't get jobs anywhere else.
Yeah, and they
make sick money those jobs.
It's good money, but you start realizing when you're working with people,
Dice from Blue Jasmine. That's where he had to go work.
Yeah,
right.
But it's kind of like you start seeing with people on lunch break. You're like, oh, so you're kind of crazy.
They'll
say some shit. They're like, yeah, then I broke that dude's jaw in North Dakota, and you're like. I took a philosophy class that was pretty tough freshman year. But they would do knifers where they'd ball up pieces of weed and put it on a thing, and then they'd get a propane tank, kick that thing on, heat these two butter knives up that we'd steal from where we ate.
Wow.
And then they would touch one of the hot knives to the weed so it stuck, and then you'd take the Hooter, and then they'd put the knives together in the bottle.
What's the Hooter?
Like the empty plastic fifth of Captain Morgan. And then you just get hit with this weed where you'd be like,
wow.
It was almost, I swear to God, all of us would do two knifers at lunch.
Knifers? That name is fantastic.
Knifer, body bag.
The Hooter.
You really found a real seedy underbelly of society there. So. I've been to Alaska. I was never fucking doing knifers through a Hooter with my fucking Eskimo friends.
At lunch. You still had to go about your day.
We still had, that was from 12 to 1, and we worked 1 to 6. And then we got dinner, and then we worked 7 to midnight. Then we were
I feel like you guys worked with, you had a radio that had like, it's AM, FM, and only has one speaker on it.
Yeah.
That one, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I love the sentence, too. Hey, Soder, get the knifer. We're doing a Hooter.
They used to be like, so we worked on the docks, and then we'd have to like sort the fish and give it to the processors. And the processors, a lot of them smoked meth. They were like straight up meth heads. And this guy, Neil, that I knew at lunch, he's like, this Filipino dude, he's like, you guys going to you gonna go smoke weed? I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to go take my medicine. I go, what? He goes, I'm going to go smoke that ice. That's what he said to me.
Oh, shit.
We went to go do knifers, and I told the dock crew. I was like, guys, they were going to be smoking that. And we did weed.
You told them?
What?
It was just my group of guys who were all young guys. We had no power. I was like, guys, it's us versus them. It's meth versus weed.
Well, I think meth wins.
We beat them.
You beat them.
We put them in the weeds. We dumped so much fish on them, they couldn't work out of it. They were smoking cigarettes. And we were just watching them all fucking jacked out of their minds. Fish belly.
That's impressive.
Kill it. Got it.
You want to see an intense thing?
We'll do that ice.
Watch a messed up Filipino cut a fish with a purpose.
I love my favorite is I like that the meth addict still knew the vernacular of your Alaskan weed shit, where he's like,
no, he didn't know.
You
he's
guys
like,
gonna do some knifers?
No, he's like, I don't think he called it that. Yeah. All I remember Neil saying was that he was gonna do ice, and I was like, oh, that's meth.
That's from that's Hawaiian, right? That's what they say. That's what Dog the Bounty Hunter is always after, those motherfuckers on ice.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
No
where
ice
he was
in
from.
Paradise. Yeah. All, they're always
all right. Crazy. All right. Let's get back to Bonnaroo.
Oh, sorry. Bonnaroo. I forgot.
What a sidetrack.
Speaking of meth.
What a sidetrack. To our mushroom trip. Do we all take him at the same time?
Yes.
Yes.
When we were walking.
No.
You all took him late.
I took him later.
You took him later.
What you did?
Where did you get him? Did I give him to you? No.
Christine
had him in
yeah.
the.
Yeah. Yeah.
What Christine loves pointing out is that literally when we took. Mushrooms in between the two buses. I believe it was Soder who said, he goes, man, this is such an awesome group to do mushrooms with. And then Ari vanished for 6 hours.
Oh.
Ari went real outdoor cat at that moment. You went, I think you were just like, I think you looked around when we got there and you're like, I'm going to go, because we went up.
No, I didn't consider it all, because we went up way up to Alabama Shakes, and it was fucking perfect. You could see the sun setting.
It was the best. It was
but then I was like, this is cool. I want to see what it looks like from down there for a second, and then I'll come back up.
Can't
and
get
then,
back
like,
up.
You can't get back up. And I'm like, right. Oh, fuck. And then I was
I don't know, man. It,
I loved that here's view. How, on mushrooms, here's how
perfect,
that sunset.
Yeah. Perfect if I just relaxed for a second.
And I'll tell you this. That at one point, you could feel the mushrooms when I stopped being like, look at that audience, and started going like, hey, man, we are just like one... We're the same organism, and we're all just breathing. It looked like a thing
breathing. Yes.
And I was like, man, I'm on mushrooms right now.
Yes.
That was when it really
clicked. I was just like, oh, man, the Alabama Shakes are really good.
Really?
It didn't take me into a fucking place, man. I don't know. I was, Earth, Wind, and Fire, man. That is a good tune.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that was good, too, though, right? That's a buzz. What you got was a
it
buzz.
It was great.
But that's a good buzz.
I was gone. We were in the woods.
Oh yeah.
Me and her were in the woods. I was in a movie.
It was it was like a parking lot.
I thought it was woods. Oh my god.
It was where the golf carts were.
Yes.
But Woodland Sprite who
Oh the Sprite. The Pixie, yeah.
The Pixie who didn't he met this like girl that was like a conservationist and she had like didn't shave her armpits.
Yeah.
And, was like all weird and had like reusable cups and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to take you guys around. she pretended like she had way more power than she
right,
did.
Right, right. She had this bleach blonde hair, so she would run through the crowd and you were like following her as she ran.
Wow.
Yeah, it got intense for me between Alabama Shakes and Kendrick Lamar's when the mushrooms like hit.
Yeah, me too.
Because that's when I was just like, oh, and I started like kind of tensing up a little.
Yeah.
Like I'm going through it. I'm going through it. And that's why Jay saw me. When Kendrick Lamar was doing that song, We're Gonna Be All Right, I was in it.
You all right?
It lifted me out of it.
Oh, really?
I was in such a panic, and then he's like, We Gonna Be All Right? And I was like, what a serendipitous song to play.
I got
the moment I need it the most.
Yeah.
I got to watch Soder in that one of those moments of like, no one, he was in his own.
A dance like no one was watching.
Yes. He was in his room singing to a hairbrush.
That's exactly what it felt like.
And we going to be all right.
I kept moving my girlfriend out of the way. I was like, yeah, all right. I want to let me.
Try to jam out.
Move. You're getting in my dancing space. I want to have dancing space.
Go get poked by some random stranger.
Yeah. Michelle.
Bring Michelle.
You're on security. I got to make eyes at Kendrick.
You're on Danny detail.
Yeah. You pick up the Danny detail. I'm going to make artist eyes at Kendrick. I get it. I'm on mushrooms.
You would like what I do too.
We could be friends, and then you could tell me of songs you have written.
You said up.
Michelle, you have a question about what he said.
He kept saying like, "I need you guys at a 10."
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He goes, "Y'all at a 15, but Bonnaroo, I need y'all to get to a 20." I go, "I'm on mushrooms. Best you're gonna get out of me is maybe a 12."
Right.
My problem was I was around people that also weren't on mushrooms.
Well,
fuck, I feel like you're babysitting me.
But see, that's the thing about when we bumped into the bassist of Alabama Shakes, that was the energy of Justin. Not that he was being, it was that he wasn't on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I was on this very like, let me steer into your soul. And then you're like, oh, you don't, no, you're not in, Because then when we went back to the green room, there were people who weren't on it.
Yes.
I felt like was Justin gruff?
No, I wasn't saying that at all.
Here's the deal. It's not that you're around people that aren't on mushrooms. It's that you're around people that aren't on mushrooms, and they know you are on mushrooms. So you can't just be yourself. You know they know, and they're looking at you.
Well, because Nick Thune looked at me, and he was like, how you feeling? And I was like...
He was on him, too.
Better
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah. Nick Thune always takes
He's
that
He's a
shit.
Huge drug addict.
Nick Thune is when I learned to appreciate music festivals.
Okay.
Nick Thune gets down.
Because he said it in a way of where, like, concern...
He's great. He enjoys it.
That he knew.
Like,
he was like, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm good.
Because we all took the same mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We all took the same mushrooms.
Okay. So we're all on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
I kept looking at the trees. You got me.
Yes. Yeah. Fucking love the trees. Trees were so great. During Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Michelle, your thoughts on the trees.
The light was like, it kept going in and out of the tree. It looked like someone was drawing and erasing it.
Yeah, it was pretty.
But it looked like, it was like, who's that guy?
Gary Clark Jr.
Stage? That stage? That tree right behind
you? Yeah, it was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
And it was, who's that guy that does the movies, Grand Budapest Hotel and...
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, it looked like a Wes Anderson, stop animation kind of thing. Or stop motion, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, I was the happiest during Earth, Wind, and Fire. That was when I was at the peak of my everything.
Dude, watch this 70-year-old black guy high kick a cymbal.
Unbelievable.
Whoa. Yeah.
Amazing.
It was like music I recognized, which was not a lot I had in that festival because I didn't know a lot of those people. That was like the first time I ever heard them. But it was like music I recognized by watching this tree, and I was like,
"Oh yeah,
this is the best."
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you that Billy Joel was a bit of a moment. We were all swaying.
Man,
it was the end
that
of
was
the
my.
Fest.
I said,
"Believe." How was Billy?
Oh, fucking great!
It was great.
That was for
was
me.
Really nice.
That was the most fun performance. Cause I said, I really knew every song.
His last
I was
10,
just drinking.
12 songs were like, that, "This is great."
Where we were with that
bar.
With that open bar,
yeah.
Dude, I was just killing fucking vodka,
the back?
Red Bull,
like,
soundstage,
soundboard,
right in the
soundboard.
Middle
of the crowd.
But it wasn't like elbow to elbow packing there. And but the show was,
and we were up front,
and he just really. Did I mean I can name in his catalog five more songs that it would have been awesome for him to do, but
yeah.
He, but with the exception of three that no one knew because he went to some old archive, from the opening song to the end, it just that was my favorite thing, was actually looking at Norman and being like, every time I, because I knew him right away, and I'd be like and you'd be like, I don't know, and then it would kick in and he goes,
Everyone just enjoying
it together. Yeah,
it
was
had to be
that.
A big shot, dude. Yeah, you're like, oh yeah.
The best
was
Norman. He would like give it up for once in a while, give it to somebody else in the band. He goes, my drummer, everybody, Tom Smith. He goes, TS.
My
favorite one, very specifically, he was like, everyone, we have Theodore, something like that. He goes, Teddy.
That's my favorite one. What a memory on you.
Everybody.
Jesus.
That was my absolute favorite one.
Dude, I think the moment.
Big Steve. One guy was fed, like, Big Steve.
My favorite Norman moment of the festival was coming back to the hotel on the night we did Mushrooms, and we were talking about Kendrick Lamar.
Oh,
and Norman goes, I mean, the band. How do they even know how to play those beats? And I go,
well, it was more than that.
But he goes, I go, what do you mean? And he goes, you know, it's like, computer music. How do they play the computer music? I was like, wait, is that what you said?
Yeah, well, because he writes these beats, or like, you know, he writes them in his room in his ghetto or wherever he's from. And, you know.
It sounds like you're trying to put a parental advisory board.
Well, he grew up poor, I believe.
Yeah, he's in from Compton.
All right. And then so he's got to write these things, and then he's not thinking about a band playing it when he's writing it in his room, is he?
No.
And then so somehow a band can pick it up later. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was just funny when you go, the band can play computer music.
Yeah.
Wait, so you guys didn't stay up there the whole time after Alabama Shakes? Did you stay up in the rafters?
I stayed up there the whole time.
Wow, the whole time.
And you
time.
Guys all did? Yeah. No, you left eventually.
I had to get out of there. But yeah. I bought two of them. I bought both albums after that.
It
was grown,
Alabama Shakes.
Yeah.
Best part about Alabama Shakes.
I'm so mad at him.
Was this this super fan right in the front row, this gay black dude that was just singing along with the lead singer, and he was fucking selling out on every song.
Yeah.
He was like snapping his fingers at her, and she came and sang at him, and you saw this guy's face. He was the happiest person on earth because she was like singing at him and he was like singing right back at him.
Oh, wow. Really?
It was awesome. And I was on mushrooms. So I was like, that's a cool connection. They're having a great connection right now.
Yeah.
She would like come. He was like in the front with an Alabama Shake shirt on, just fucking going ape shit.
Yeah.
And she would walk over and be like, yeah. And they'd have like, she did it with him like two or three times where she came and sang at him.
Wow.
And you would look and you're like, that's fucking really awesome.
You feel really good for that guy?
Yeah. I was like really happy at him. I was like, good for
that.
Hours
I stayed up there.
Hours later, she fucked and ate that man.
I had goosebumps when the lesbian with the red hair.
Florence.
Yes, Florence. When she ran into the crowd, that was
that was
great.
Amazing.
I
liked that one.
That was good. It was good.
Why'd you move? Oh, because of work.
Yeah, I had to go back to work.
And but see, here the thing. I love Florence and the Machine. I think the new album's awesome.
Yeah.
My one problem is it was the afternoon and she was trying to do this mysticism thing, doesn't play in the light. When you're like, ooh, look at this, and you're like, yeah, I could see everything.
I just like doing magic in the morning.
what an awesome, terrible segment. You're like, what? Just tired, rubbing it out of your eye?
We're going to saw this lady in half. Can I get a coffee?
There weren't enough hits for me in there, and I wish that I knew, and I wish she would have played Kiss with a Fist and like maybe some of the older shit. But then when she did go into the crowd, though,
yeah,
damn.
That was special.
No, I described her as, like, I said, she's an awesome performer, but I didn't give a shit about almost
anything. You to pick me up and throw me around.
And you're like, that doesn't sound good. And you saw the security guy that was with her that was just sweating and have to lift her up. And he'd be like, all right, let's go, Flo.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want you to feel my energy.
She like, crushed the pebbles all over there. She'd run on barefoot. You could tell. She's like, I'll fucking play for this. But she went into it anyway.
I wish Ari would have watched Kendrick Lamar. That was one of my favorites.
I was in the grass, barely hearing a couple of his beats from so far away.
That was a great
cinema thing.
That was a great Mark and Me moment too that I loved, because I think it would appear that I would not really be into Kendrick Lamar.
And Mark
was sitting on the railing like behind me, and so I was like two songs into Kendrick Lamar. I just get tapped on the shoulder and I turn around, Mark just goes, three more maybe, yeah?
Because I thought you were bummed out. I was trying to read you.
And then I was like, you don't like it? He's like, nah, it's good.
I liked it.
He stayed the whole time. It was a hell of a show.
I thought you were not into it, so I was trying to relate to you.
Yeah, you worry about everybody else a lot.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's my personality, huge, like making sure every.
Right.
As I said, Billy Joel, I'm like, were you all having the greatest time right now?
But that was the best part about the mushrooms, was I was able to disconnect from all that and be like, you know what? This is the one artist where I'm just going to fucking enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Jay tapped me and turned around and he goes, look who else is enjoying Kendrick Lamar. And it was Ben Folds.
Yeah. Really?
That's right. But yeah, he was right near us, standing there. Yeah. Wow. Ben Folds was behind us.
I didn't even know that. Jeez.
He was into it.
What?
He was right next to where you were.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was into it, man.
Oh, I like that Kendrick Lamar kept being like, everyone that's been here since the beginning. And I was like, it's Bonnaroo. No one here has been here since the beginning. Like, these people know two of your songs.
Yeah.
And they love you. I thought the crowd knew them.
Yeah.
The crowd weirdly did know a lot of the songs.
That's true, yeah.
People
do start buying tickets based off of like the acts performing. So people do come for the
Best part was when Billy Joel made the rich people joke that didn't connect. He goes, oh, look at all you people in the front row. You guys all the rich people? You're like, no, those were people that waited hours to see you.
Yeah.
Cling your jewelry so we know where you are. He looked at his piano and everyone was like, that one missed.
Did he do a piano where he was like, thanks everyone for buying tickets. I need it for my car insurance.
No, but that's a great joke.
That's funny. He did have a fly swatter, though.
For no reason. Yeah. It looked very white, like it was going to be, like, you should see this.
Right.
And then he just swatted some flies with it.
Yeah.
Like, not remember, that many.
When they started releasing the torches that would go up in the air. Those are like parachute torches.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
But they started releasing them. He goes, what's that, huh? He's like, what is that? And he makes some joke where he like looks at it and he like he's aiming a gun at it. And he goes like, pow! And he goes like, I don't know. Whatever. And he just goes back to his song. Like,
because they're not all his fans. They're not hanging on his every word.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Like, let me see how good you are.
Yeah.
Instead, he's used to playing to only like diehard.
The thing he said that was pretty cool was when he said he went to Woodstock as just like a fan. He goes, and he said, this is what it must look like seeing like from the stage.
That was a pretty cool moment.
That's like you did see. But he's performed for 100,000 person crowds before.
But he goes, you know, I went to Woodstock. And then he goes, no, I didn't perform. I mean, I actually went. We're like, yeah, man, we all realized. We know how old you are. It's not.
Right.
Of course
right.
you didn't perform there.
Did you? Wait.
So you guys went down. I should have caught back up with you at Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah,
he'd be alone for a little bit.
I'm telling you, he was.
There was one in between him and Alabama Shakes.
Alabama Shakes into Kendrick Lamar.
Yep.
With an hour between.
Yeah.
I totally could have went back and met you.
Because we were back to the green room.
That's biggest regret.
I'll say it right now. Biggest regret that.
Even the way he came out was like pretty great. He's like getting super provocative, man. He just got like a bunch of shit for his.
I watched the BET Award performance.
I don't know what's provocative. There's like, you know, choreographed dancing happening. It's because of one of the lines. It's one of the lines. I saw he's standing on a busted up police car.
Oh yeah.
It's like whatever.
I like bad bitches.
That was I love bad bitches. That's my fucking problem.
That was him.
He sang that. Yeah.
You thought A$AP Mark Rocky. Was just saying that all week?
I thought that's A$AP Rocky.
It is, but he has.
He sang it.
He has no, but he has a. Well, he did his verse.
Oh nice.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, the only bad part of the mushrooms to me was...
Yeah, I thought you were just saying it all week. Yeah,
when,
sorry.
When you're in the middle of it, and then you go, you're like kind of lost, so you walk around the perimeter to like find your bearings, and then you see like the guy doing the septic tank, you see people taking like the garbage, you're like, oh, it's all real. Yeah. You know, like, it's not fun games. Yeah,
you're like seeing the strings of Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was, to me, the only bad part.
Negative of having the artist pass there.
I'll tell you this,
some guy booting heroin while he's cranking Space Mountain.
Right.
Enjoy the ride. I'm gonna... That was the weirdest part was going backstage because it was that's why Earth, Wind & Fire lifted me up so much because I got depressed after Kendrick Lamar and then you're like let's go see Earth, Wind & Fire and you were like Deadmau5 we're going to see Deadmau5 and we went and saw
because Justin was there I wanted to see Deadmau5 I was like yeah I should see it
dude Earth, Wind & Fire was
I heard it was a letdown
yeah it was way more trancey than anything
yeah I didn't like it.
Well, then what? You were going for, you were going for the music?
I thought it'd be really like, let's just fucking jump up and down and see a thousand hands going up in front of me, just like...
Wait, but you did that at Slayer. Like,
yeah, I did at Slayer.
Oh, man. Ari.
Slayer might have been the best surprise. Holy shit, that was
killed
awesome.
It.
They were the sleeper because... And Christine said this a bunch, too, but it's like, really, they... Like, I've watched them a lot. I went on tour
I've
with them.
I've never seen them. I don't know their music.
I went on tour with them, and I still don't know their music. I'm not a big fan of Slayer's music at all. I like the two songs that I know, and that's it. And but they were having so much fun, so out of element. Like they were really enjoying it, because everyone did come to do it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone came for a metal show. All these hippie kids and
they all came,
but they came for a fucking metal show.
And they fucking nailed.
They went hard. Yeah, man.
They went hard right from the start. Never really stopped.
And it was the best thing where I was just like, "Fuck it, yeah!" Like once they
and
started,
his banter.
That devil guitar, you know, or bass, whatever it was.
His banter was great too because you could see he was just enjoying like the, you know.
He never made, which I hate when older bands do this when they go like, oh, I never thought you'd see a band like us here, huh? Or something like that.
He didn't
just
do
like,
that.
Just fucking play, man.
And he just played.
And he played
just
and
act like he belonged.
And he like was like genuine, almost like a badass older uncle.
Yeah.
He's like, y'all having fun?
He looks at cool. like Sons of Anarchy. Right.
We're going to fucking shred on this next one. And you're like, oh, dude, I know why dad doesn't talk to you anymore, but you're cool as shit.
Does anybody want one of two beers, a Diet Coke, or kombucha?
Oh, this sounds like a fucking dangerous. I'm good. I got water.
I think I'm okay.
You're what?
I'm okay.
You want to split a kombu?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
We can both have one.
No, those things are like $4.
It's all right.
What if we all did mushrooms again to talk about our mushrooms experience?
Wait. Whoa. Okay, keep talking about the mushrooms for a second. I'll get drinks.
Oh, wow, thanks. What a host. Nobody does that at our age.
Everybody, welcome back to the Skeptic Tank with Ari Shaffir. I'm here.
I'm
the
Duncan.
Van ride was the most enlightened van ride I've ever been on.
Oh, that was great. I'm Duncan Trussell. No.
yeah, the ride's back, because it was like a good half hour. That's a real, like, die down of energy.
Yeah.
You come off that going and seeing a band and then just sit in a van. Like.
You start to know the things like, oh, Cracker Barrel, we're almost back.
Yeah. I remember there was a sign for Dr. Sinuses, and this lady was grabbing her nose, but it looked like she was just irritated she was on the ad. Like she was like,
using this picture.
I got booked on this.
I had one of those fun, you know, you're a comic moments. You know, like, I banged that girl on the farm. It was like this magical night.
Wait.
We came back. She dropped me off at the hotel, and I bump into you three.
Right up front,
fucking Rubes, are you four? And you guys go, we want a Panera Bread. And I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
So that was it. I was hungover. I was sleepy. I was gross, but I was like, I want to hang out.
Story.
Yeah, we got to get to this. But hold on. The only
what?
People I took,
hear
the only people.
Hear it.
You didn't hear that?
No, I didn't hear this.
Oh,
this
is great.
I was lost for hours at a farm.
When was this? What night was this?
The Slayer night, whatever night that was.
Saturday night.
I'll tell you exactly when it broke up. It was on our way to Slayer.
Yes.
It was Jay and Christine were ahead of us, or we were separated from you guys.
You didn't do your job as the fucking holder of the line.
Shut your damn line. Shut your damn mouth. Me, you, and Mark walked out of the tent, out of the comedy tent, and then Norman, I just hear Norman go, hey! And then he's gone. And he's like, I'll catch up. And then we saw him.
Right.
And then now it goes into his.
Wait, yeah, I got to hear this.
So Ari and I went and saw Slayer.
Yes.
I went with Danny to see Mumford.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. Wasn't Jay there?
Oh, yeah.
No, I was a Slayer.
Oh, you were a Slayer, all right.
We eventually went to Mumford.
Yes, yes, yes.
Man. All right, we'll talk about them in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll give you the quick run through. The clips.
No, no, no. Just give us the run through.
We're already an hour in here.
No, we don't. All right. West Coast podcast.
So. Oh, right, yeah. It's too many comics. So, yeah. We're walking a Slayer. There's a girl, a guy, and another girl on sitting at a tree just laughing. And, you know, I walk by, and one of the girls goes, "Hey, we saw your set at the Comedy Tent." I was like, "Oh, cool, thanks, blah, blah, blah." But I'm, like, kind of staying with Dan. And she goes, "Sit down, talk to us." And I was like, "All right." So we start talking, and I'm on mushrooms, and I'm a little drunk. And we're chatting. I go, "Just go. You guys just go." And I go, "My friends are going to Slayer." And they were like, "Oh, I don't know Slayer." I was like, "I don't know him either." And they're like, "We should all go to Slayer." So we go to Slayer. And then I go, "We should go to Mumford." And then we all walk to Mumford. We get some good spots. I start making out with this girl like an
immediately?
Like, immediately. She's on Molly and mushrooms. And I mean.
That's a great combination. It's called something. Candy flipping? What is that called?
I don't know. What that is.
I think that might be acid Molly.
You're like, yeah.
Candy? That sounds like something with a hooter. All right, so all right. We go where Mumford & Son, and she's on Molly, and I'm on mushrooms, she's on mushrooms, and Mumford & Son is like moving, powerful, like ballads, you know? So we're like getting into it, and I don't know anyone else around, or you can just feel everything. She's got the leg up, I got a handful of ass and a handful of nip,
what?
The whole thing.
What?
Yeah. Just going like tongue, like if you could see our tongues, they were like, you could feel them because you're on mushrooms, you know? The tongues were going, it was like one of those things at an auto sale, you know? Like, you know, those things of the wind? And we were just going at it. And she's like, you know, it's weird. My friend met that guy on Tinder. He has a farm. We've been staying at his farm because these tents suck. And I'm like, oh, my God. She's like, yeah, it's like 20 minutes away. You should come to the farm. I was like, all right, sure.
That sounds like you could get murdered.
I know. But I was on drugs.
Like, that's almost like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing. Where
totally.
She's like,
I'm just an innocent girl.
Right.
I'm on a farm.
That's only a thing girls think about.
Centipede.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Yeah. I was like, yeah,
Mark,
farm.
Mark ends his Bonnaroo experience with his lips sewed to another person's asshole.
You're my experiment.
I think Mark would be fine with that as long as his other hand could be on a nipple.
Right,
like,
right.
I just
imagine
him being like, I got a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So she had a VIP whatever, VIP status. So she's like, let me get some shit out of my tent. The VIP's pretty nice. It's actually kind of cool. So there's like parties over there and another bar. I guess it's like Tent City, but there's that one tent for every like 20 feet. You know, you have some space. Oh, and there was open bar. There was food back there. It was
pretty
cool.
Wait, is that the people that paid the $30,000 for six tickets?
No, it wasn't that.
That's not part of like a rock star.
That was rock star. This is just VIP.
Just VIP.
Which is the next thing.
How much were those tickets?
I think they were a lot.
How much?
I don't think it was probably like $8,000 or something. I don't know. Yeah.
$8,000.
Something.
No way.
She's pretty well off, this broad.
Okay.
So we get in the car. I remember the whole time I'm like, it's a 20-minute ride, and in that 20-minute ride, I'm coming down off mushrooms, you're starting to sober up, and you're like, what am I doing? I don't even know this girl. Where am I going?
You're
my
headed
phone's
to a
dead.
Farm in Tennessee.
Farm in Tennessee with no phone.
Who's driving?
The guy.
The Tinder guy?
Tinder guy.
Wow.
VIP are $1,524.50.
Oh, wow. What? I was way off.
$1,500 each?
Yeah. A day? Probably a
per
day.
Pair,
no, that's probably the whole thing.
Oh, is it the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole thing.
Yeah, that's not bad for her.
But still.
Still, yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
So, yeah.
How much are regular tickets?
For that much money, you can get a vacation that has bathrooms.
Yeah, it's true, and a shower.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So we get to the farm. Beautiful. 15 acres, horses, a barn, the whole thing.
This is like 11:30 or something?
No, it's like 4.
4 a.m.
at this point, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like
maybe three or something. Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Wow.
We should all go, you guys.
So,
all
right,
I'm going to take your Diet Coke.
Take that Coke. So, yeah, so we get to the farm. The guy is like the Tinder guy is like a farmhand. He's like grew up on the farm, southern guy.
Is he
tall,
a handsome farmhand?
Handsome, jacked, like farm dude.
Well, I got a good relationship with my mom, and my dad's my hero. And
exactly.
I love raising sick horses. Just kind of what I do. I also don't believe in coming until the woman's came. But those are just Tennessee farmhand rules.
Right.
What was the farm for? Was it like
his family? He grew up there. His family, but his parents were out of town.
But do they like grow something specific, or is it like
they harvest organs from men who come back with their bait?
Well, all I know is he made like a quick dinner at night, and he's like, "This is the chickens from the chicken outside. We had like chicken sandwiches from the chickens. You know,
that's awesome.
It was crazy,
really?
Yeah." And he made the whole thing.
Chicken sandwiches? He killed the chickens?
Yes,
not eggs.
Yes, we had eggs in the morning.
Wow,
this guy was unreal. So we go upstairs, and I'm in his, like, his childhood sister's bedroom. You know, it's like weird, you know, like ballerinas and shit all over.
Old photos from previous generations.
Like babies on a tractor, you know? And
I forgot to tell you one problem with this farm is it's extremely haunted.
It's extremely haunted.
Violently haunted.
Some murders here in the last couple of months.
Every boy that old Jesse brings back ends up dying, but good luck. Don't let the shadows take you.
Yeah.
Good night.
You're like, what do you feed the pigs, boys? Yeah. So we go out, me and this girl, just wild farm, Bonnaroo, mushroom, anal. Just crazy.
What?
Yeah.
Anal?
No, anal. Not anal. Not anal. I just need I need another adjective. But yeah, we were just going at it, like the headboard, banging it, like crazy
in
sex.
A farmhouse.
At one point, I was on the edge of the bed, like so standing up, and she was on the bed, and she was doing, I don't even want to describe it.
Describe it.
You already got too far.
She was doing one of these, and just taking it. Oh, it was crazy.
Wait,
edge of the bed on her toes.
She was gargoyling? Wild.
Gargoyle. Wow. Yes. She gargoyled.
Yeah. You gonna fuck this gargoyle? You gonna fuck this gargoyle. What are you, a bank? Are you a bank?
Oh,
are you a city building? What am I on? What am I on the corner of?
What do you call that thing? The potty hobby or the pink?
The squatty potty.
Squatty potty. She was on a squatty potty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, she was on a squatty potty?
No, she was doing one. She was
like, holding something from behind.
She shit on your chest? But in one long perfect rope, a complete elimination.
With little to no need to wipe.
It got incredibly hard and couldn't understand it.
Yeah. So we banged a bunch and then we fell asleep. We woke up the next day, guys cooking breakfast. And then she's like, we should feed the horses. I'm like, what? I have photos of all this. So we go out and feed the horses.
She showed us a Panera.
It'd be funnier if while you were having sex, she's like, do you want to go see the horses? And you're like, are you trying to Catherine the Great me right now? I need you to help me into my setup.
Right.
So the next morning you went and just rode horses?
We didn't ride. I was too scared. Horses are intimidating, by the way. When they get right here, you're like,
oh, shit, yeah.
Like when you see one, you're like, I'm going to feed one with a carrot with my mouth. But then when they get up close, you're like, ah, fuck it. Here, you're like throwing feet at it.
Big, strong animal.
Yeah, kick and you're done.
I got bit on the nipple by a horse when I was 8 years old.
Oh, my God.
One of the most painful things in my life.
Oh, my God. I bet.
My cousin lived next to these horses, and we were like 8 and just on the fence, like, horse, come over here. And it just like trotted up. It was like,
wait, and then just. Chubby?
No, I was skinny, which made it hurt.
I don't know you think.
Yeah.
But I have puffy nipples. So he got all nipple. And he just bit real quick, and then I like squeeched, and I was like, and then I jumped down.
Wow.
And I was bruised.
Yeah.
The horse went for the nipple, like it was some sort of fruit.
He was like, or if it was like trying to turn me on.
Yeah. Right,
the
right.
The horse is like, this kid likes, like, it looks like a nipple play.
Dude, me trying to get on a horse.
Oh, God.
I tell you, my ex girlfriend a long time ago was like, she rode like barrel racing shit. Like, she was really good. So
where'd you meet her? At the fucking rodeo?
Yeah, like, no, South Jersey. It was like,
really?
Yeah. But she, but I remember they put the saddle on the horse, and she goes, come on, we'll go ride horses. And I put my foot in the stirrup, and I put like a little weight in it, and the horse started to move, and I'm like, he doesn't like it. He hates it. He doesn't like it. And they're like, no, it's fine. Just get on him. I go, no, why is he moving? Then why is he moving? He can't tell me I'm too heavy. He's just going to get me off. I was so scared.
Imagine you doing that with a woman, too.
Yeah. She hates it. Sort of. Sort of.
Her hips are wiggling. She's going to move.
Oh, she re-zipped her pants. All right. I blew it.
What was the attitude like? You know, it's a one-night stand.
Yeah.
But on this expansive farm.
But it was so, like, romantic. And it was like a Lifetime movie. You know, I'll wake up on a farm. The birds are chirping. The sun is coming through the window. The guy's making breakfast. The horses.
Did you fall in love a little bit?
A little bit.
Really?
Yes. The rolling hills. I mean, we're still in touch. Saw her in L.A. We hooked up in L.A.
Gargoyle did fucked you? Her 3 hours
LA.
Before.
Yeah. We had from L.A.
Did you?
Molly.
That's insane.
Oh, did you see her when you were out
there?
Did you guys have morning sex?
Oh, yeah, of course.
When you woke up? When you were sweating out the booze?
Yeah.
Was it weird that the guy, like, knew? It was just the guy and you two, right? Or
That
would have been weird.
Wait. It wasn't a devil's threesome. It was the guy, his girl.
He had a girl.
He met her on Tinder, and that's how he knew. She knew the other girl who I was with.
She assumed a man just brought you and a girl back to his farm to fuck.
I was gonna say that's really creepy.
I'll be out here working the fields. Y'all have a good time in my youngest sister's room.
While you're plowing, I'll be plowing.
And he's like, think of me as more of a rural sliver. I'll be watching with
I'll
all the
I'll make
cameras.
The eggs. You make the stomach pancakes on that young filly.
Welcome to my farm. There's just a DP on the fence. Welcome to the old DP farm.
Yeah. But yeah, then we fed the horse and we sat on the rocking chairs in the front porch and everything and looked out. We smoked a little weed and then I was like, I got to get back. Drove us back and then I met you guys.
Yeah, wow. He drove you fucking like a crazy, like, this is like a 45-minute drive, right?
Yeah, it was a long drive.
Oh, shit.
That was weird.
How awkward was the drive?
That guy was awesome.
The drive was a little awkward, but yeah, the guy was amazing. And then I was supposed to meet up with him the next day, but then I was like, ah, fuck it. That's how shitty I am. I'm like, ah, amazing night. I'm in love. We did all this romantic shit. And the next day, I'm like, eh, I kind of want to see Florence and the Machine.
Yeah. Alone.
How often do you like feel like that after
rarely,
sex?
Rarely.
Very rarely.
I mean,
right?
Once a week. No, I don't know. Pretty rarely, yeah. I don't let a lot of emotion in.
It was almost
a romantic setting.
It was, of course. It was like out of a movie.
It was a great, yeah, you came back and you lived a romance novel.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
The Farmhand starring Mark Norman.
Yeah, just throw some mushrooms in there. Yeah.
The
but yeah, but there was so many cool things. Like
the next day people were like, what happened to Norman? I think he went to go fucking a farm.
Oh, yeah.
Norman probably it.
One of the highlights was John Hamm opening my beer with a lighter. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you were a little, I saw you right after.
I
you
was
were
like a little
shook up.
That is funny too because he's
an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I mean, one
like,
pop.
He knows
boom.
How to do it.
Yeah, I was like, I was shirtless walking around. Galifianakis is sitting there, so I was like, I just want to get a beer and get out of here. So I was trying to feverishly find an opener, and he goes, "Give me that, give me that." Just like a frat guy, and popped it open.
All
one
the
try.
Sober people, they love doing that.
Yeah,
rolling joints.
Right,
they're like,
right.
Let me participate in some way.
I want to join in, but not to the point where it ruins my life.
Yeah.
Wow, you did Bonnaroo better than us.
No, I mean, you did it up pretty good.
You
there.
Went to a farm.
I went to a farm.
Not only that, but you banged on a farm.
Yeah, you got laid. Yeah. You would have been neck and neck, but you got laid, which is always going to be
such a crazy environment. If I got laid, it would have been on a 10.
Yeah, getting laid is like a knockdown in boxing. Norman got a knockdown. You didn't. It goes to the cards.
I will say it's hard to get laid in Bonnaroo. I was like, I'm going to go fuck all these hippies. It's going to be great. It was tough. It's tough because like everybody's on drugs. Everybody's sweaty and dusty and it's tense. It's hard to get laid.
It was like nowhere to do it.
Nowhere to do it. Yeah.
We all thought you would have parlayed that shuttle ride back to a hotel into sex.
Or showers.
Showers. Like, come on back.
But the ride is too long. That's the problem.
It's a lot of time to think.
Yeah, exactly. Also, you're in there with 18 comics who are going, hey, what do you do, cunt? You know, like, it doesn't really help your chances.
Mark, who's this pig you just pulled out of the fucking pot?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm going to call you Thursday. Your name's Thursday.
Another day, another slob. Yeah, Norman.
Hey, wrap it up, sweetheart. You don't know where this pig's been either.
Hey, guys. All right.
Hey, you guys are ruining it.
Hey, you guys want to take it down a peg?
Than your last
These guys are clowns.
Hey, you're sitting with a guy that fucked the van driver last night.
I did try to fuck her. Gina or whatever her name was.
Oh, that one. I was going to say, not
the
sweet
other one.
No.
I
thought Joni.
Oh, Joni was. Oh, what a lovely
Nell.
Woman.
I thought you were talking about Janelle.
Gina, yeah, she was
married.
Sexy. Ah.
Married. But yeah, she had a good ass and she wore weird pants every day.
Yes.
She wore pants like a 12-year-old. Like it was like moons and all kinds of shit on her, like fucking stretch pants. Yeah.
They were tight.
Wait, so you didn't see that girl again for the rest of Bonnaroo?
No.
Oh, you did it Saturday night.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is just Sunday.
Yeah. And you get the whole my phone's not working excuse, you know.
Just true.
Yeah.
Phones were not working good.
But I saw her in L.A., so we're cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you know, you're the king of Bonnaroo. Maybe I'm the queen of Bonnaroo.
Absolutely.
You're the king of Bonnaroo.
Honey,
but
you are the queen.
Shirtless king.
Thank you.
Yes, you were
all
the
right,
lizard
I'm
king.
I'm going to say this, and I know I'm a dissenting opinion.
Yeah.
But I was very impressed with Norman's torso.
Me too.
I got to give Norman.
I just got a report the other night about Norman has a surprisingly good body.
Who said that?
Someone you fucked.
Oh. Is she here?
Come on out! She's been in the shower the whole time with headphones on.
Right.
Like a quiz show where she can't hear anything.
Natasha Leggero had some nice things to say about you in the Sack-a-Rooney.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Put that
up. Fear blowing backs out.
Yeah.
Bust that bitch wide open.
Right.
Fucking all them roast jokes into her.
That was way before. Let's see. Take your shirt off. Let's see your chest.
Oh, no.
You
no.
got up on my shoulders and somebody.
That's right.
That's great. We got a picture
that. Was Florence
of
the Machine.
That was Florence of the Machine? You great. Got up on my shoulders of Florence of the Machine?
Best photo of the fest, I think. Yeah, check out our Instagram, people at home. We got some great photos.
That's on there?
Yeah.
You're on my shoulders?
I got like a million likes on that.
Nice. That's great, yeah.
That was my favorite photo.
Because you're not smiling. You're just like, I got it.
Because I'm really actually struggling under the weight. Like,
oh,
I'm
were you?
So weak.
Oh,
like,
I didn't know that.
As long as my legs are like locked, I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
But the going down, the I was going like, down. This is not.
Well, yeah, you did the going down very quick. You're like, I'm good. That's it. That's
I'm
it.
Like,
that's all.
Give, give.
Yeah. 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 Like, it was like a multiple orgasm chick. Oh, your legs were really jiggling.
I've had two knee surgeries.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
I forgot about it.
Is that true?
Did you guys hear about Ari Bonnaroo? What? Blew his ACL. He's not 6 to 12.
Oh my God. I love the idea of going on his shoulder.
Patella disconnected.
Yeah, it's a great moment.
Tim Clark Duncan Jr.
Yeah, yeah,
have him backed up.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Clark Duncan.
What, Jay, how was your mushroom experience? Just that? Just.
It was just like mellow weed almost.
Yeah. But that's what a buzz is on mushrooms when you don't take enough. You just take a cap or a stem. It's like they can just take the edge off at a party and shit. Michelle, I'll give you some mushrooms before you go.
Yeah, look at that. Santa.
I don't like the thought that Michelle's just going to be walking around half-crazed through New York.
Oh, I'm leaving for France tonight.
France?
Whoa.
Are you really?
What a regal sentence. Yeah.
Are you treating yourself now that you're working on a TV show?
It's my 30th birthday present to myself.
How long have you had these tickets?
Like 2 months.
And now you have the realization you're your own person. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Are you going to fuck some dude in France?
Oh,
answer is obviously you are.
But
who are you planning on fucking in France?
I'm going by myself. I'm going to 3 days to Paris, and then I'm doing this bike tour through the Loire Valley.
Wow.
For 6 days.
Good for you. How do you set that up?
The bike tour is through REI. I literally Googled it and I found exactly what I wanted.
Wow.
And
I was
like, great. And they plan everything for you. It's
really?
Hotels, food, like.
And it's reasonable?
Yeah. It was like all in, it'll be like $5,000.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad.
That's for Paris, too.
Oh, yeah.
But you're the flights?
And the flight's like $6,000.
Oh, wow.
But you're doing a 36-mile bike?
Yeah, it's like 25 to 30 miles a day.
That's the thing about Michelle. She's in like Sarah Connor shape.
Right,
so she can just keep going. And you're like, yeah, I just want to sleep during the day.
Michelle with short shorts on at that festival. Woo! I was like, damn, those legs
30 miles crazy on a bike?
Solid.
You're like that Bond villain who kills people by squeezing their head with their thighs.
Yeah. Like in GoldenEye.
Yes, GoldenEye. That's it.
That's your finishing move.
Yeah.
Mine would be like, I would go, oh, and the ground would move.
Yes, yes.
All right, let's get some highlights and lowlights from the festival.
Uh-huh.
Musically and otherwise. I mean, farm thing has got to be a highlight.
My sleeper surprise was I did not know I would give two shits about Mumford & Sons.
Mumford & Sons.
I thought they were fucking amazing.
They killed it.
God. I mean, I like their music a little bit, then I got overplayed. It does seem a little bit like the same song.
To some of their music. I don't really enjoy the recorded albums.
Cool. I like that folk, Irish folk rock.
But
shit.
Live.
I like the new stuff a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it would just be four guys playing guitar in a line.
No.
I went to a lot, they were killed.
I've seen them. I went to a secret show at Poisson Rouge.
Oh, wow.
For them, and they were fantastic.
Yeah,
I've never seen him.
He destroyed the drum kit in the middle of the song.
Kicked it off.
That was pretty cool.
He would play drums, the lead singer,
while singing.
So emotional into it, kicked everything open, went to the front, finished the song.
That was one of my biggest regrets. Was I left Slayer right after Raining Blood? They did one more song after Raining Blood, but I left Raining Blood, went to Mumford, tried to find Michelle and my girlfriend, and I bump into Rocky, and she's like, "Here," and she just puts a bunch of bracelets on me and leads me through like I'm the president trying to get to my car. And I'm going through all these things, and I'm at the sound booth, and no one's at the sound booth. I was like walking around looking, so I couldn't really enjoy the show. And then I did, and I was like, "Oh, okay." Then I left, walked around, and found all of you guys in the same place.
Wow!
And you had amazing seats, and I was like, "Fuck, this sucks." I wish I would have been at this point, like where you guys entire show.
We're really close. I think the more less light show bands is better to be up close.
Yeah,
you really want to hear them and see them playing, and all the fucking stuff with sound effects.
They did
and shit.
That song. The last thing they did with everyone on stage.
Yeah, they did.
And Hozier came out. And
he
sang a verse, and I was like, oh, because I only saw the last bit of his show, and I was like, oh, he's amazing. He's got an amazing voice.
Hozier, I missed him. Damn it.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. I've been listening
to him ever since. He's got that song. Everyone knows that one song.
Yeah, take it.
But it's so beaten into the ground. Yeah.
It's not a good song for him. It's like all his other songs are really good.
Yeah,
and he's got a crazy great voice.
His voice is really good. We sang as part of a little help from my friends.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so interesting about Bonnaroo is, remember the first, this is all our first times there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the first moment you get there, you're kind of like taking it all in, and then by the third day, it's amazing how much more you know about the fest. Like, you know where things are, you know how to get around. The first day, you're taking a lot of information.
The different things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know when to be aggressive with
a lot of the campers. The campers get there on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Then start setting up, and they get their feel, the surroundings and shit. And then Thursday starts the music. Yeah, you do. Wow. You see more and more. Then eventually you went to the 10th city. I'm like, oh, this was here?
Right. Keep uncovering things.
Ari, did you say there was or there should be a makeshift strip club in 10th city?
I heard that there was.
I heard there was, too. But maybe I heard it from you.
That's very possible. That they said it's a guy I know who's there, like, all the time.
Could you call it mud flaps? That's what I'd call it.
But, like, they have these banquet hall tents where people set up, like
come on down to the hairy clam.
The salty puss.
Yeah. They just make money. And they have these bars also that are set up, makeshift bars, and just giant like hall tents.
Yeah.
Makeshift strip club seems pretty inventive, but
I say next time we go, we got to do RVs.
Yeah.
We can have a shower, we can be there, so we can stay till way, way late.
I would do an RV.
Yes.
On site.
Yeah.
I would do a tour bus like Ralphie's.
Yeah. I texted my agent and I was like, I want to go back and headline. And I was like,
did you all go on Ralphie's tour? Like,
no.
Yeah.
I was like, I was just, a bus there would be so fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or any kind of thing like that. But you could do it. You could probably organize that.
Yeah.
He owns a tour bus, though.
No, right. I know. I'm not talking about his. I'm talking about you could probably organize.
RV, I think I could do.
If you booked the right batch of, as good as the group that went this year knew each other, we could have done.
Oh, no, I'm fully thinking of fucking, like getting some people and like getting an RV. Tour bus, you think?
I'd say tour bus, yeah.
And all sleep on
those
the tour
bunks,
bus?
Man. Those bunks.
But if you could
great.
Do shows you could on do, the way
you
there.
Could do, you could do up to 12 bunks on a fucking tour bus.
And if you were able to do one night shows on the way to Bonnaroo, make some money to pay for that could pay for the whole bus.
You're overthinking it. We're just going to go to
Bonnaroo. We are overthinking it because none of us are going to be booked next year.
Right. None of us are going to be booked. I'm thinking of just going.
Just to go? Wow.
I mean, I loved it.
I loved it too.
I go without the VIP.
The access, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like we can get artist badges.
You can get an artist badge.
I think we could.
Samantha Pitchell or something, you're like, come on.
Probably.
Yeah.
Not everybody used both passes. I guarantee not everybody used both passes.
True. I didn't.
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
Neither. There you go.
I'm just going to pitch everything now that it's going to be like, hey, me and Soto will go do the radio show.
everything. To be like, wait, why do you want to do that at the Super Bowl? You're like, I don't know.
You guys are on a sports show. He goes, no, I know, but we know.
It'd be funny.
We know sports.
We're going to go to the Masters in Augusta. I want to go to the Grand Prix in Monaco.
I'd like to go to Wimbledon.
What? I want to cover Wimbledon from the ground.
The U.S. Open is a good time, by the way.
Is it really?
I really want to go to the U.S. Open.
It's really great. It's fun.
Tennis?
Yeah. I'm not even
guys, let's
tennis.
Do mushrooms at the U.S. Open.
That last year was amazing.
I watched tennis some, but the U.S. Open's so fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
They used to set up a big movie screen in like a lawn in Rockefeller Center, and I'd go there, and you just like, it feels like you're...
What year was that?
Like 2007.
Is it true or is it not true that you participated in the U.S. Open?
I met a girl outside the cellar like this week, so she goes every year, and it's amazing.
Bonnaroo?
No.
Or no.
US Open.
It's
Open.
Great. Yeah. It's great, yeah. It's right in Queens. It's beautiful.
You guys want a podcast?
I'm willing to put myself
there?
In for like, let's find out more information. I am willing to sign up as long as it doesn't conflict with out of town or cost $10,000.
I'm going to see if I know someone that can get good tickets.
There you go. Oh, yeah. You have connections.
Yeah.
Are they on NBC? Is the U.S. Open on NBC?
You look like you played tennis today.
Yeah.
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 I look like I play tennis. They give me everything.
Yeah.
Well, you're clearly a professional tennis player.
Yeah.
Insider.
You just wear a lot of Adidas.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here.
Just flex a leg muscle. Yeah. You're in.
Oh, come on. I play something.
Yeah.
What was that last song they played, Mumford and Sons? What was that?
It was Little Help from My Friends.
Yes.
But they did the Joe Cocker version, not the Beatles version.
And Ed Helms did a little banjo at one point.
Everybody up there. Dawes, Hozier, My Morning Jacket. They got everybody.
War on Drugs.
War on Drugs was great.
They were great.
I had never heard
probably
of
that's my most pleasant surprise.
I went into that call on that one, though. That was one of the bands I wanted to see really bad.
Yeah, they were good at South By. Like, real good.
Yeah. Worst performance, Run the Jewels. A little weak.
Why? What did you think of their performance? They talked a lot in between
songs. They talked
a lot.
I think they flubbed a lot. They stepped over each other a lot.
I'm a huge Ben Folds fan, and then we went to see them. It was made me not like him as much
because
he was doing like bits in between songs, long bits, and they weren't funny, and it was
lame.
Seems so contrived.
Yeah, that's
the problem with playing to only your own audience.
I hate that.
They hang on your every word, and he's like, "I'm brilliant," and then you get to this other place where people are like, "I don't know, man. Heard of you?
Right. Just play the songs." That's why, like,
you know, when you can see through a joke.
Yeah,
like, that's what it felt like.
He's like, "Who's from Nashville? Woo! Knoxville can suck my dick." It's like, what? Yeah. What are you trying to start some shit? Just do
hey, everybody.
Do the act.
I'm going to be selling T-shirts after the show.
Yeah, it was
brick T-shirts.
Right.
That was my biggest disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a Ford corporate. That was my low light.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What was that?
It's brutal. I bombed for 30 minutes straight. Had to be squeaky clean. Oh. People are coming in and out. It was my first. I got there. Went right to that.
How much did you get for that?
I got like $500.
Looking back, knowing how bad it was it worth it?
Well, once you're done, you're like, well, I'm done, and it's $500.
I know,
but
if you had to enter that into again, like, it's going to be this for $500. Would you take this gig?
Probably.
Okay.
It's $500 to do stand-up.
Sure.
At a place you're already going to be.
I love Mumford. I love Alabama Shakes.
Yeah.
That band Jungle was really good.
Yeah.
I saw them for a minute.
Holy fuck, they were great.
First night.
When it was like, let's just start. Let's run out there. Let's not. Yeah. I'm disappointed I didn't do the water slide.
Ugh.
Oh, right.
It was dirty, but just the idea of doing it. I did get in the fountain after Slayer.
Nice.
That's right.
The hepatitis fountain.
My clothes smelled after that.
Yeah, you're lucky you don't have a parasite in your pee hole.
Yeah.
Right.
They said one year they were giving
out... silverfish would go right up in your pee hole.
They said they're giving out little packets of like shampoo, and people were just in there shampooing.
Really?
Shampoo? Yeah,
which would have been probably pretty cool. I was so sweaty after Slayer.
Yeah.
It was Soder's one-word DeRosa impression.
That's my impression of Joe DeRosa in one word.
Do it.
Shampoo! Shampoo! Shampoo!
He's the only guy who can be angry about shampoo.
Shampoo! Shampoo!
What's he doing now?
He's in L.A. I got to call him. That just reminded me I was supposed to call him back.
Does he have any gig or anything going on?
Yeah, he was on Better Call Saul.
He's on Better Call Saul.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And he wrote, he was a writer on...
Pete Holmes.
Tulsa. We were at the same festival.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was a writer on, they're doing Wet Wet American Summer.
Oh, really?
On Netflix, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's very...
He's in the mix now.
Yeah, he's gotten laid quite a bit.
He's doing good.
Has he?
Oh, yeah. He does well with the gals.
A lot of overlap with you guys?
Like we're dating?
No.
You haven't seen much overlap there?
Well,
he likes the comics.
He likes the comics. I don't like
the
comics.
Yeah, he loves that. I mean, let's not air a show.
Yeah, let's not do it because I have to write a roast jokes about
him. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But he's not coming anymore to the roast.
Well, I'm hoping he'll send... I'll plead to your audience to reach out to DeRosa and tell him to send a video roast. What his concern is, and it's valid, I know because of the Kumia thing and all that, he's worried if he sends a video that it will bomb.
Yeah,
they always
like,
do.
But it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I go
just be a part of it.
Shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
They video. Always bomb, though.
Yeah, maybe.
I get his point, though. Saying that is a fear. It's like it's gonna. I go, but you could bomb if you were there.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing.
Good
it's
point.
You.
It's a good point.
I mean, like, you know, I'm not saying that you would. I'm just saying like you could. You know what I mean? Like anyone can go up and eat shit on that.
That's what I'm worried about.
Me too. I gotta start.
Me too.
I gotta start. I got a couple for you, Dan. I'll send email you.
Roasted?
Big J.
Me.
Oh.
The dais is insane.
Unnecessarily.
But Norman. Norman and I are teaming up. Norman's
who's
my writer.
Dais?
Norman's
Soder,
my head writer.
Me.
Metzger's Roastmaster.
Lewis, Dave. Bonnie McFarlane.
Kumia.
Harris Stanton. Kumia.
Oh, Harris Stanton's going to get murdered.
Yeah, you and Vecchione.
Vecchione. Oh, my God.
Vecchione.
Woo.
I already got a couple for him.
Yeah. He sleeps 2 feet from you.
I wrote all my roast jokes about Becky
snore like
over him while he was sleeping. I was just mouthing him.
Shaking
I go,
angrily.
I go, you got the stage presence of while he's sleeping. But I'm doing it while he's sleeping. I go, Mike Vecchione's here. A lot of people you don't know. I live with Mike Vecchione. I'm just doing my set as he's like...
So the Creek's going to sell out in like 6 seconds.
It's already sold out.
Oh, it's already done.
Yeah. It's the place to be. If you're not there, you're not there.
Oh my. Do the writers, can we get some VIP? Like,
yeah,
I want to be able to
can we
sit in the rafters if you want.
There are rafters.
The sound booth.
Oh, the sound booth. Yeah.
No, that's
the
only thing that's left. All the writers are coming, yeah.
Okay, absolutely. I just, you know, it's going to fill up in there so quick.
But it's sold out in 5 minutes.
Wow.
But we're doing the whole building, though. They're gonna show it on TVs downstairs.
Oh, they should have some standby seats, because I bet some of those people got excited about buying tickets, and then they're like out-of-towners that aren't going to come in.
Sure.
They should have some standby.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else? Highlights.
Oh, yeah.
I gave you my highlight.
Oh, man, I'll tell you this. Food highlight.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Now donut. We're talking.
Amish donut
was so good. And the pretzel.
I'll give a close second to the funnel cake.
You weren't there for funnel cake. Really that was part of the joy of Earth, Wind, and Fire was the funnel cake.
Yeah. Is that motherfucking funnel cake?
I bought a funnel cake and I just brought it, and we were just like savagely all. It was so good.
So good. And I also hadn't had fried food in a while.
Because again, Michelle lives like she's Sarah Connor in the future.
Uh-huh. I figured out funnel cake, you guys. It's just eat the top half off with all the sugar.
It's like a muffin.
Why?
Or a cupcake.
Because it's too much. One funnel cake is too much for you.
Four of us. Devouring it.
Oh.
Like we're vultures.
Five of us.
Four and a half. Danny's tiny.
Anyway, you get all the powdered sugar on top, so just eat the top off.
Sugar
on the bottom.
Then be a rule.
If you could go that far. Absolutely. Sugar. Funnel cake sandwich.
I mean, you know the sugar goes through it all and it's sugar on the entire thing.
No, not powdered sugar. That's a different sugar. That's a different sugar.
No, powdered sugar on the whole thing.
No, not powdered sugar. Regular sugar inside, powdered sugar on top.
It goes all through it.
He sounds pretty
There's
bad.
There's a layer on top of powdered sugar.
I've never had a piece of funnel cake didn't have powdered sugar on it.
Yeah, you get a little bit, but if you just eat the top, then the percentage
of your
powdered
sugar. Oh, you want to be covered
sugar,
like a powdered donut.
Yeah, get it on your face, man. Get it in the powder.
Now we are back to too much.
Okay, let's agree to disagree.
True.
You like too much pow pow.
You can have them the bottom of my funnel cake if you want. Now listen. You guys, I see you both all waning on your cell phones.
Sorry.
Dig down.
My phone lit up there.
I'm not. I'm staring right at you.
There you go.
I'm in the pocket.
Did you guys not have the pretzels?
No.
Oh, I didn't have it.
I don't think I ate.
Yeah, you guys fucked up.
It
was soft.
Yeah, we all had it the last night. Remember they were shutting everything down and we rushed and got Amish donuts and
that was a key of having the fucking artist pass with the food.
Yes, that was
catering.
The catering was big.
Oh, every meal you got was just a delight. There was
a salad bar, a nice dessert bar.
Yeah,
more importantly,
salad bar, yes,
there was a good juice
healthy.
Bar for my girlfriend.
Yeah,
remember she got all her vitamins and beets that she needed.
Right.
Yeah, one time there was a guy cutting prime rib. The other day there was a guy making what was it?
Not omelets?
Shoe, but the guy who made the pad thai. It was like, make your own pad thai.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The one night we were all sitting at a table, and then I go to put my tray away, and Norman's like, well, what's the deal? What are you guys all on? And I was like, nothing. We're not on anything.
And
you were on mushrooms.
I was on mushrooms, yeah. But I didn't want to say it without you guys saying it.
Well, I just know, I remember thinking something was up at the table when Jeff Ross was really listening to what I was saying.
Yes.
Like, really listening.
Yes. I had to get away from him. He was killing me.
I was like, oh, man.
Did you go watch?
Well, just all the pictures, and he's one of those guys like, let's go do this. He never goes, you want to do this? He goes, let's go do this. You know, and I didn't want to do it.
He's good for adventures, but
he's a little, pushy. But great guy.
But what I do the opposite of, like, when I really want to go do something, it's like, I'm going to go over and do this thing. I'll see you guys later.
I'm the same way.
One chance to say I want to come. It's like, sure. But otherwise, like, I don't want to hold anybody back.
I assume no one wants to go with me.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we're awful people.
Yes.
Why would anybody want to come with us?
Exactly.
But I want to go.
God,
I think my biggest regret was not hanging out in that artist place, like, and trying to meet more, like, musicians and stuff like that.
How would you meet
them? They weren't really hanging out there.
They weren't, right?
They hang out on their buses.
Well, yeah. Like, some of the smaller bands, like Shaky Graves is there, and they were on Late Night, and I met them there. And the guy saw me do comedy accidentally, and I saw him there. And then
he saw you at Bonnaroo.
Yeah, and it was like, I don't know. I knew a couple other people there that from smaller bands, and I kind of wish I had done that more.
That was
funny. I wanted to do a podcast with somebody from a band, but I'm like, I don't know, I'm gonna meet these fucking bands.
Right?
No
They don't stand out. They all look to get the same.
But then you gotta miss everything.
Yeah, it was like one of those things where it's like, even like the last night I was there, we went to see, who did we see? The rapper?
Kendrick Lamar?
No.
Fiasco?
No, the
Chance the Rapper?
No, it's an older rapper who's fat.
Grandmaster Flash.
He's fat.
Oh, you're gonna get so mad at this answer.
Rick Ross?
It's not a rapper. Are you talking about D'Angelo?
Ouch. Rapper.
He's fat now?
No, he was. He's
R&B,
turned up.
He's R&B, right? I don't know. I didn't listen to any of his music.
This is like trying to tell my aunt about a band that I like.
Soder was the only one amped up for D'Angelo.
I was so amped up.
When I realized what she was talking about, I was like, oh, Soder's not going to like the description, and it's going to be like, great.
He's fat now.
Let me keep going.
He blibbity blaps no microphone.
Anyone that likes him's probably just should die. What?
Yeah. Soder, did you have to stop blowing a guy to listen to that?
Yeah. But, like, I wish that night I had maybe gone back to the artist area and hung out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't even know where open bar was. They kind of had their own little food truck area, but it was all just booze samples. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't get the artist area. I didn't understand it.
Yeah,
I didn't know what the deal was.
The line to get beer was so long that it's like I'd rather honestly just
yeah. But then
pay,
they said if you went, right, but I would say that minutes. And they'd go, no, if you go in there, you see it's not lines. Everyone's just kind of gathered in there. The lines actually not. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Lines. I went in a couple times. Me and Norm went in once.
Yeah. We waited in competing lines.
It took like a half hour.
Oh, yeah. With
half hour?
Yeah.
How many can you get when you're up there?
You can get two.
We had to throw one for each hand.
Yeah, that's right.
Except
that's
you
crazy.
Had the cup.
I
oh,
put
you
my.
Both fucked
yeah.
Me over.
We snuck ours out.
You snuck yours out, and then you left me with no way to sneak out. You're like, I don't know what to do. It's like, yeah, you put it down, you come back in for me.
Yes.
Like a soldier.
Yeah, sorry.
Norman, you just went. You just left.
Well, I figured we'd all leave.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, fuck, he left because we got two drinks.
Yeah.
We can only chug one. I was like, come on, I want to drink this slowly.
I put him in my shirt and walked
out.
And
I waited with Michelle for a minute.
Yeah, and then you were like, oh, I can take off my shirt and put in my shirt. And uh-huh. I was like, I can't do that.
That'd be great if you did. Yeah. Just walk through topless. Hello, boys.
By the way, I was proud of myself for treating you like a fucking man. Like, I'm not fucking waiting with her and being a fucking knight in shining armor. I'm just going to go.
No,
if that was a dude, I would just leave.
I do appreciate that, but you could have come back.
Definitely come back. I didn't think of that. If I could put my drink down and saying,
treat her like
hey,
a dude and treat her like
in.
A human that you're with.
Yeah. Oh, we got our photo taken by that photographer.
That was cool.
Oh, I wish I had done that.
That
too.
Was cool.
Did you see those yet?
No.
Okay. You're the one, you're our point man on that.
Why me?
Because you got his name and info. And stuff.
Oh, I lost.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
He played with the fucking
played harmonica.
Mumford.
Yeah, with Mumford.
Wow.
Too.
Who didn't play?
Let me give you my let me give you my highlight of this.
Wait for this earlier.
Waiting for the take our picture.
Yeah.
With the photographer. God, it was me, Mark, you, and
Matt
Soder.
McCarthy.
Matt McCarthy was there too, yeah, but we're waiting, and they go, oh, well, he's doing pictures with someone right now. Can you guys just go wait over on the couches? And there's a bunch of couches.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of places to sit, and there was just one really hot girl sitting on one of the couches, and he goes, yeah, guys, just have a seat over there, and we'll be with you in about 5 minutes. And Mark just turns around to this girl, and he goes, shoo!
I had all that farm fucking confidence. You know? She was really hot.
That's all I took the van with is girls who were clearly fucking some guy in a band. And
really?
They got like off site,
oh,
like
so
hotels.
Hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I know somebody in this band. It's like,
wow.
I bet. You're a 9.5, really? Yeah,
right.
I bet.
When you would come back on those late
buses. Or during the day in the morning before you guys came.
Right, okay.
They're like, I got to get back to my campsite. Kidding! I'm in a hotel.
Shoo. And then, I mean, literally. 13 seconds later, he was like, so what, do we exchange emails or something?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think you go, I'm on J-Date. You on J-Date?
Yeah. No dice.
Chase White.
I was watching Brandi Carlile when you guys were doing it, and Christine called me over for that picture.
Oh,
it was cool, that guy, that photographer.
Yeah, great guy.
My bum out that I missed is that I missed Royal Blood.
Oh, Royal Blood was really good.
Yeah.
They're just rock and roll.
Yeah,
I'm really mad that I missed there. I'm really mad that I missed.
I wanted to see that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, I mean, it's like Black Keys kind of amped up.
Uh-huh.
Two man band, drummer, bass player, but the guy plays bass as guitar.
Distorted.
Like, oh,
like
wow.
So he does like, it's like a lead guitar on a bass. I heard it's amazing.
Here's what I liked about that photographer guy. So we took pictures. It was kind of cool. Everybody there had my shirt off, I think. So I was like, I'm going to put it back on. But then he was like, well, I take pictures of what people got in their pockets. Or anything.
Yeah, that was
like,
awesome.
And I was like, in my head, I was like, I have so many different types of drugs in my pocket right now. I have acid and mushrooms and weed.
I didn't know you had acid.
Yeah, I got acid after a while.
But you never took it.
I did take it.
You did?
What? Yeah.
And then I took some more.
When?
The last day, Billy Joel.
You were on acid for
I
Billy Joel?
I brought it up. I brought it up.
You definitely brought it up. To be clear, that
I brought it up. I said, "Who wants to do Acid, Billy Joel?" I said it multiple times. Christine, back me up. I don't remember. But I did say more mushrooms.
Yes.
And acid.
I don't remember.
You never mentioned acid.
I said to you for sure. I was like, "Hey, you want to split this acid with me?" You go, "No, I had too many mushrooms already. I'm done partying."
Ah, yes, I do remember that.
Things come back to you guys now. You fucking drug addicts.
You said to me about acid the day we were leaving.
I said I threw the last of my acid out.
Yeah.
Good for you for keeping your shit together during Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Did Billy Joel start melting?
No, it didn't kick until later. Here's what it
did. You feel like he was yelling at you? Did you think he was yelling at you condescendingly about being a big shot?
He's got a 10-foot fly swatter.
Yeah. It didn't kick in really, really hard till like later. So my thought was, it's not kicked in yet. I should take more to make it kick in. But then I was like, wait, what if it kicks in way later? And then I'll be way like overdose myself. I don't want that.
And then too much acid can give you a heart attack.
So I was like, why not temper it with some mushrooms? And I'll take a heavy dose of that too. And then that way there's no OD.
Mm-hmm.
Just helping each other along.
Oh, I just remembered that went to a crawfish boil.
Crawfish boil on mushrooms and acid. It.
Yeah, I was pretty hammered.
God.
Yeah.
You should have seen
last night after Billy Joel fucking just dumped out a pile on a picnic table.
That I had to go back.
Oh, that's fucking
all left too early.
That's fucking potato chips for you, right?
I was teaching everybody how to do it. It was a real good time.
You should have seen it because they just dumped it out. It was for all the staff and the photographers and everybody. It was great.
It was great.
Friendly. We got to talk about the vibes in a minute, but. So he comes over like an hour later. He's like, "Oh yeah, crawfish." And he was like, "What? Nobody ate this one? That's a tail. That's a tail.
Yeah,
that's a tail.
Leave them.
Missing a tail." He was so angry about it. He goes, "I got to eat these out of spite."
Oh yeah.
Well, it's a real ugly thing to eat, right?
Crawfish. Oh yeah. They look like bugs.
And like, you know, but it's good. They taste good though.
They're amazing. It's like mini lobsters. They're really amazing. Yeah,
it is mini lobsters. If you get a good solid piece, it looks tastes like a piece of lobster. But it's so much work for like a little piece of lobster.
That's what I've never liked about crawfish broil. But I just ended up getting frustrated and trying to.
It's part of the fun, you know. You're out there. You're drinking. You're talking. You're peeling. It's like a thing. But I get it.
I should have stayed.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. That crawfish boil.
Yeah.
And we were with who? What was the guy's name who drove us around? Travis.
Yes, Travis.
Travis is a good dude.
Yeah, his brother was on acid and wasn't handling it. So
he was annoying.
He had to be like, "Excuse him," and then Raymond's like, "I got him to bed. He's okay now."
Yeah.
It was like I just like my brother so much.
Yes,
I was like,
"Well,
all right, man, yeah, he was bad. I like him too, dude."
I'm gonna say he nailed the 3-point turn on a fucking golf cart like a champ. So
he was awesome.
We hung out, me, him, and Sam hung out in that artist area grass in the comedy till like 4 a.m. one night, just drinking all the wine and shit.
Wow,
smoking, and then just listening to the silent disco. Just all of a sudden, start screaming out of nowhere.
Right,
that was always great. Yeah.
Silent disco sounds like it would have been fun.
Yeah.
It's just like you hear nothing for a half hour, then you just hear, "We don't need no water, let the motherfucker burn."
Yeah, but just like 800 people doing that.
right.
I think I went in for 15 minutes, not even, and I was like, "I get it. I'm done."
Silent disco. How were your guys' shows? Were those any good at all?
Shows.
They were pretty good.
They were okay. The problem is when the music started bleeding in from next door. Really hurt it. I had one where I think Soda went first, and then I was like 7 minutes in doing like probably the best 7 minutes I had done of the three shows, and then and it just, you could feel the audience kind of drop off.
Yeah. I had my shows were at 5 and 7. The 5 was great, sold out. There wasn't a ton of music, like it was great. The 7 was I could hear so much bass. And it was like half full, and
yeah, it's weird when you're trying to go to a setup and you're just like, "Yeah, man, dating's pretty."
Right.
The Friday show for us was, we did two Thursday shows and a Friday show. The Friday show was packed, and that I think was the best one.
See, I liked
the afternoon show was packed.
The afternoon show was packed, but I think I thought the best audience was Thursday
show. Late, yeah.
And it wasn't a lot of people, but they were all fucking there.
Well, I liked it because there were so few people; they were just in the bottom section.
Yeah, it was probably like they came because
for a comedy.
The other people in the other shows are like, "Yeah, I have nothing else to do right now. It's air conditioned."
Yeah,
you know, like there's a band playing that I also like, but I'm choosing comedy.
Yeah,
you know, now that I think about it, in terms of like what I was saying about those other bands, it's like a lot of those people would be like, "Well, I don't know, let's give comedy a chance." I don't know, probably. You know,
I was happy that we had. This is a great show Friday too, because I was on stage. That's why I missed Royal Blood.
But
we were competing with that.
Yeah,
it's tough. That was a tough contest.
Watching from the rafters, how cool it must be to be a fucking musician.
Yeah,
Like, just to, like, play those songs with, like, everyone on board immediately. It's not like jokes. It's like every word you could lose somebody.
Right.
And you have to win them over. No, it's like, that is just like.
I've watched that 1,000 times, man. For like,
yeah,
like,
you do one bad song, and they're just, like, waiting for a good song again.
Yeah.
Like, are they just check out real quick?
Still sort of into it, you know?
Right.
Like, it's just, like, watching, like, the wave of people just, like,
well,
I
was, it's
like,
also
I
the
got super jealous.
Yeah.
The reaction to the first couple chords of a song. There's never a joke where you're like, I live in New York, and they're like,
he's fucking doing it.
Oh, I hope
you know,
I'll tell you who does feel that. Brian Regan.
Gaffigan.
Yeah, Gaffigan.
True. If he goes South by,
he'll be like, like Regan will be like, goes, so, you know, I bought Pop Tarts.
That's Gaffigan.
No, that's
Regan. It's Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
I saw him at
you saw him do Hot Pockets live?
Yeah. At Moon Tower.
On the 2011 tour?
He did 45 minutes.
Did he do the jam version?
I don't remember.
About the veggie pockets?
He did 45 minutes. It was great. And then he goes, yeah, all right, that's, this has been a good show. I'll probably just go back to my hotel room and warm up some Hot Pockets. And the place went crazy.
It wasn't that much of a hand job.
It wasn't that much. But he said it like a clear introduction.
Wow.
And everybody went nuts. And he's like, this is the greatest hit.
You guys are good. You guys are good. You guys are real good. You're real hot. If I could, I would fold you up and fill you full of a edible meat.
Like that's a hand job.
Hot pocket. I used to say that. I used to say.
Also,
a beat starts.
Yeah.
Well, so your punchline should have like a fucking like a water shower come down the ceiling, like sparks behind.
Thank you, Atlanta. We'll see you again real soon.
It made me want to be like a punk band.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I was like, I would jam out.
Because you don't require, because it doesn't require talent. You could be doing it by tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. I could just like, I could yell.
You know what for me it was? I always got jealous when I got to take sips in between songs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can do that.
Yeah, but not when you're holding a guitar.
Yeah.
I've taken 4 sips of beer or water in my career on stage.
Really?
It's a weird stuff.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Oh, I
love
it.
It's a punchline indicator kind of thing.
Or if, like,
a crutch of sorts.
Yeah, if you will.
A joke bomb.
A weakness
like
in your game.
Hey, they're back on board.
Also, a comedian can't run into the crowd. People are like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was like, what are you going to go back up there?
If you try to do a Florence of the Machine, Bonnaroo. Me doing it?
Yeah.
Bonnaroo, I'm here for you.
Right.
Brody goes into the crowd.
Who?
Brody Stevens.
Oh, run into a crowd. That's a little
crazy. Yes.
Positive energy.
Right.
If by chance we all end up at a show at the Cellar or something together, we should all bring a water bottle on stage, and all when we drink water, let's notice we do it where we don't touch our lips to the water, where you keep one of those people pours it into your mouth. Just have everyone be like, man, that's a really obnoxious way to drink water on stage.
You know what I'd love to do is in between a joke, do that, Jay, and then put it down on the thing and like wipe my hands and be like, so I live in Queens.
You're like, yes, all right.
Yeah, but overall, that was not a bad comedy tent.
I was worried because I was like, "What is this music festival tent?"
Music festival shows goes. That's the best.
Ren Azizi told me he was at one, I think in Missouri or something, where he literally had to tell him like, "Hey, the show's not going to happen. We're not going to do this. No one can hear us. So you're going to pay us anyway, but we're not going to go on stage. So just accept that." He was like, "You can yell into a mic and you couldn't hear it."
It was worlds better than Rock on the Range even. And Rock on the Range wasn't terrible.
Ottawa Blues Fest was the best I've seen because that was indoors.
Well, that was an indoor thing. That was a completely removed from
yeah. That was like good shows.
Bumbershoot's got good shows because they do it inside during the day. It's like in a theater.
Bumbershoot's in Seattle?
Yeah.
It's a festival
in Seattle.
I want to do that one. Who does that one?
I don't know, but it was. I did it a couple years ago. It was great. Except the headliners were the most polar opposite people. It was Tony Bennett and Skrillex.
Oh.
Wow.
And Skrillex, you had to wait in line. Some people waited in line for 3 hours to see him. I was like, that's too much.
I like how Bonnaroo, they had some outlier type bands
that
like
was
that.
Great.
But mostly it was about the same sort of you know, ideas on music. Where it's like, okay, people would like all these, and then here's like a Kendrick Lamar, and also a Deadmau5, and also a
You're right. I do think like the Mumford and Sons, My Morning Jack, that whole Alabama Shakes. That's fucking Williamsburg, Brooklyn, right
when
there.
When Mumford, they left stage, like they were over, but there was clearly still like a half hour left of concert.
Yeah,
and they came back and did like 15 more songs. I had asked at one point. I had asked people. I hung out with Mumford and Sons once,
what?
And like
what.
Yeah, well, when I went to the show, when I went to their secret show, we all went to like an after party after.
Wow.
And because our bassist from our band is friends with them. And so he, but I was asked them. I was like, when you guys go off stage, and it's like you know you're coming back on for an encore. Like you never. I was like, what do you guys talk about? Like, what do you like? You like? Are you just like? We all know you're coming back. They all know you're like. And but then when they did that, and it was like 15 more songs, I was like, why did you leave?
Maybe they just leave.
Yeah.
What do they talk about?
Sit down, smoke a cigarette.
They said they're all just like. There's only one time they've ever not come back because it was like a bad crowd or something like that. But I don't remember the exact answer they gave because I was very drunk.
I saw Mumford & Sons at Lollapalooza and they got very frustrated with the crowd because they were trying to do this like a cappella shit where they all got around one microphone and they were going to play Springsteen's I'm on Fire.
Yeah.
But Steve Aoki was next to it. So they just have this microphone, like, we'd like to do a song by Bruce Springsteen. You just hear, and they're like, I'm on fire, let the beat drop. And they're like, Marcus Mumford was like, okay, we're not going to do that. Thank you, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, wow, he's fucking mad. You can tell he's mad.
Yeah, I could see that. But yeah, but you think they're like definitely going to come out and play and they're going to go long because you know how long their set list is. But
that's what we thought with Billy Joel. Billy Joel.
Did
No.
He did one early. He had a 2.5 hour slot.
What'd he do, an hour and a half?
I don't understand why he had that slot. But no, but all encores are planned, though, 100%.
Yeah,
there's too much production that goes into, I mean, like, the soundboard guy, every song is like a different programming. You know what I mean? So they can't, in the middle of their song, like, not that they can't do it, but they will rarely be like, this is totally unplanned. We're just going to go fucking
I saw Arcade Fire do that in Chicago because there's some monitor. Like fucked up and he's like get that monitor working and then he like finished the song and goes the monitor's still not working and he was like fuck it and he just like picked another song out of order and then when they got it working again he just shifted that back into the song they were gonna play.
I saw Queens of the Stone Age in Philly and their monitor went out and he's like Josh Homme lost the set list and he goes fuck it, looks like we're gonna do some requests, what do you guys want to hear?
Wow,
and people are like yelling out songs and he's like yeah we'll do it, let's just hope our lighting dude can keep up. And they fucking did like three songs. And then the monitor came back and like, all right, we're going to go back to the set list. And you're like, that was awesome.
That guy's pretty cool.
Yeah. Just people were yelling shit out.
Still never seen him live. Oh, no, I did.
Queens of Stone Age?
No, I'm wrong. I've seen Queens of Stone Age.
Were they open for Nine Inch Nails?
No. I don't remember who. Oh, they were like a Mayhem Fest, I think, at one point or something.
We tried to get him to do my storyteller show.
Josh Homme?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm. Can I be a.
I know John Theodore, the drummer.
He's the new drummer for Queens of. Yeah, he came from Mars Volta.
Jeez, but Wolf, you're like the kid and Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Well, that's from all the show.
She started writing for Spin Magazine when she was 11.
Right.
After I went to a couple music shows, I was like, this is fun. I want to do this. So now they kind of take me around.
I heard John Bonham sucked.
The drummer Junior. From Led Zeppelin?
The dead drummer from Led Zeppelin?
Wait. Was it Bonham? Who was the other guy?
Was it Bonham? He probably did not.
The Zeppelin guy.
Robert Plant.
Sorry, I heard he kind of shit the
None
bed.
None of us saw him. Really? Who'd you hear it from? None of us went to see him.
I can't remember. We heard one it from the LA guys.
It was Big J before, and he goes, "Don't bother. I've heard it's not good."
I saw the set list was not going to be good, and I just know he's not going on tour with Led Zeppelin because he can't sing those songs anymore. His voice. So
somebody,
I don't know what the hell else I would ever want to see by Robert Plant.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin. Might have been Braunholer.
Oh, really?
Somebody was like, "Ooh, brutal."
Braunholer was cool too. He was there.
Yeah, he's a big drug fun.
Yeah,
but he left, didn't he? He left.
Yeah, he left early.
Yeah,
I said right away. I was like, "I want you to do Bonner." I was like, "I need passes for every day."
Yeah,
none of this 2-day passes.
I said that too.
Yeah, Ari talked me into it in 8 seconds.
And were you happy that I did?
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very quick. My mindset goes right away. It's like it's over. I'll split. Like I'm not performing anymore. It's over. You know.
But then you realize you're in a magical place.
Yeah.
I 100% thought I was going to do the shows and then probably go back to the hotel because I was like, music festivals aren't for me.
Wow.
And then I was like, this is great. This is really fun. And I got the offer to do it, I wasn't sure if I was going to because I was like, I don't know about this. And then I texted Dan to see if he'd ever done it before.
Soda?
Yeah. And he was like, I'm doing it. And I was like, great. Then I
made a legit effort to do that festival. Like 2 years ago, I put my manager, my agent on.
Me
I was
too.
Like, through to her. Maybe 3 years ago. And then 2 years ago, I got close. And then last year, they offered to me. I was going to China. But I was like, I had to push and push specifically for that thing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying my instincts, even I pushed for it for years too. But when I get it, I always assume, like, when I'm done performing, I'm kind of out the next day.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. I wouldn't even think to ask. And you kind of did that with Rock on the Range, convinced us to stay the whole extra day. We did two days.
That's right.
And I did, and that was great. I'm trying to learn more. I'm going to go to that.
Even though Smashing Pumpkins sucked, it was still worth it to stay there. Yeah, of course. Bush.
When I go to Maui, you went there and you said the same thing, and I'm like, I'm going in now with the mindset of like, all right, if everyone's going snorkeling, I'll go fucking snorkeling.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm such a hotel hermit, man. Like,
I'm the same way.
I'm so jealous you guys are going
after
to
the
Maui.
Show. I always kind of want to go back to the hotel. Like, I don't want to be lost
to
some weird.
Going to that Maui festival?
Yeah, I think so.
You got in?
I don't know for sure. Yeah, I know you guys all went last year. But
Jay said it got pushed from. Oh, you were. Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, that was
last
great.
Year.
That was a
fun we're doing
time.
Shows there.
Jay said it got pushed. The festival's from October moved. To May. It's no longer Halloween weekend.
Oh, weird.
Maybe it's because Halloween's on Saturday night, but maybe Halloween. Because like Comedy Central convinced them not to do it that weekend or something.
Did they buy it or take it over or whatever?
I hope not.
But I heard that Hang is like. What? No, I think it's the guy. It's just the guy. Yeah.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
Man, what a fun time. Braun Oler. Pretty much brought his fiance. Like they got it like a little marriage ritual
right.
there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Remember the boat, the schooner they took us out on? We went snorkeling. It was amazing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna do all that shit.
Gotta do that one.
Yeah.
I had to miss half the snorkeling because I had to be on a fucking phone call for this goddamn television show.
Ah, Jesus.
You sit on a boat in paradise.
Cock fucking sucker.
That son of a bitch. Anyway, we have our first villain of comedians in living rooms talking festivals.
Sorry. Yeah, anyway, you for sure go to that one.
I'm
go
jealous
of
shit you guys got to do that.
Yeah, Maui was amazing.
Again.
I banged that girl in the pool. Remember
what?
That? The guy
dude,
hit
I love
me.
Your erotic tales.
We went to this bar, and there was no local. There's no like Americans around in Maui. It's just like locals and a couple families. And so I'm at this bar, you know, trying to real poon hungry, and I see a table full of three girls. I go immediately to it. I start hitting on this girl. I get her number. I bring her back to the Hilton. We're fooling around on the beach. We go into the pool. We're banging in the pool, and a guy hits me with a skimmer.
What?
Like the pool guy's like, you got to get out of here. What are you doing? But he was Hawaiian, so he's like, ba-da-ba-da. And I was like, all right. And so, yeah, then we went to my room.
Dude, you really, all your sex stories sound like Cinemax scenes.
Yeah.
Except there's insertion.
Yeah.
Like when you see that on Cinemax, like, that doesn't really happen like
who
that, though.
Who fucks right. on in a fucking barn with a window? Like, right. Who fucks on a farm in Tennessee with a sun
not
setting?
Since Dalton and Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Hawaiian hot tub.
Yeah.
With all the windows facing the hot tub.
I know.
Tub.
We were in the right in the open. And I saw it next day. I saw kids playing in. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's filters.
What did you guys think of the or how everything was put together too? By the way, they paid me pretty well. Yeah. I don't know how
what Bonnaroo
felt, but yeah, I was happy with the pay.
Oh,
I was happy with the treatment.
I felt killed. Oh shit! Yeah.
Shows
for three? Yeah.
Two shows.
You did two. We did three.
That's like.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
I was like, this is crazy.
It'd be funny.
It was an hour of work.
Ari or Michelle drops like a crazy insane number. Like, I mean, $15,000 for two shows.
Hey.
Jesus.
I got paid almost the same as you. I think.
I think we got the same.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Everybody put up a number.
Please don't. I think I got shafted. Thank God I did that Ford gig.
Now we all got to know.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. But yeah, it is crazy. When you think about any amount you actually get paid for fun shit like that, is like, what?
Right.
You're paying me for this?
We found out we all proportionally made the same.
The first time I did Denver Comedy
by per show pay.
And Wendy called me to the back, and she was like, let's go. I was like, what? My trip? No, I got to pay you. I was like, oh, yeah.
Right.
You paid for this.
I forgot. That's the same way.
Then you paid for it greatly by having to be fucking your flight canceled. You went to Ralphie's.
Yeah,
great.
My flight got canceled, but I got to hang out with others. But here's what Sam said in terms of like hanging out. She was going to try to get like Kohler or someone like that to sponsor like a shower for that our little area that we could just use. And so that way we could RV or do something like that, you know, or sleep in a VIP and just have that place.
She seemed against the idea. She seemed like kind of pro that idea.
Well, here's the deal. Rocky and Sam
stayed in those trailers.
We
like,
totally could have.
If those were like, if there was like bunks or something, I would have done that.
Natasha brought all those cushions out and
so
put them
smart.
On the lawn.
I don't
we
know
just
why
laid on the lawn.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Set up some tiki torches. You have a fence all around you. Yeah.
Right.
As long as it's not raining.
And there's just that skunk.
Because we can just start over society right there.
That skunk came
with our acid and our molly.
The edge of that little fence.
Mark knows a farmer.
To us. And we were like, yeah, whatever.
We could start all over with Mark's farmer friend.
What did you guys think about the way we were treated? I mean, there's a few festivals that it's like Montreal, always like, I feel like a fucking artist when I do that.
Yeah.
You know, the way they make sure you're there. Green Room has stuff in it.
I felt great. I mean, they pick you up and they're like, you need to be on this shuttle. They help you. They're like, your show is at this time, so get on this.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty class act all
and
around.
And if we had to be late, they'd be like, cool, we'll figure it out. Yeah. So they're
very
Rocky too. Rocky likes fucking drinking and having a good time at those things. You see her sometimes. That's why she grabbed you. She was probably like bombed. She was like, come on, let's go party.
Oh, yeah. You know? That was fun.
Yeah.
I made a move. I didn't know she was
Rocky?
Married. Yeah.
What was your move?
I was just like, hey. That was about it.
It's a first move. It's like one dribble. Like,
yeah.
I think her husband was there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was present at this thing. Yeah.
Oh, is it Hozier?
It's Hozier.
He's like, I know a guy with a farm where we can have this happen.
Fresh eggs.
What about the vibes overall at Bonnaroo?
Great. Walking around getting high fives from strangers for no reason.
People, I felt no aggression, bumping shoulders, shit talking.
Your set.
It was the opposite of Charleston.
It was the opposite of Charleston. Bonnaroo, the opposite of Charleston. That's
well,
a great
it all depends on your perspective on Charleston, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess so. It really does. every time people would rush to apologize to each other if you bumped into somebody if you're dancing and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. And people are like, no, it's cool, man.
Yeah,
and
everyone just wanted to have a good time.
But it also made for the most awkward pit at Slayer. Did I bump into you? I meant to, but I'm also sorry.
They went big.
I got clocked.
Oh, that's right.
But I did get helped up instantly.
That's most mosh pits are supposed to be like that.
I saw some guy take the last step. It was like he hadn't left his feet yet. The ball was still. It was released in my hand. He took another full step and then left his skates. I'm mixing metaphors. But left his skates and fucking unloaded his shoulder into my jaw.
Oof.
And I was like, boom, and gone, down. Man, that Slayer pit was good.
You went to three different pits, right?
Slayer pit?
Yeah.
What else?
No. I'm saying it's Slayer. You said you went to three.
Oh, yeah. There was a little pit right there, but then it was like no one was in it. It was just a circle, empty circle. So I kept moving forward. Like I think I get up close, and there was another pit right there.
I just start.
And then
he discovered it, like Columbus.
It was great.
I tried to start one with soda way in the backwards. There's no one was around us at all. A two-person mosh pit.
It was pretty epic.
Such a great way to relieve tension. Just fucking shove somebody away.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know, but I've never gone in ever.
Me neither.
No, I've been to a zillion metal shows. I've been to a bazillion metal shows. I love it. I just stare at it and watch it.
I regret not,
but I just do not.
Really? I regret not surfing anywhere.
Oh,
I do like surfing, but there was never with all the different VIP and different areas and like first come areas and all that. The handicap area, there wasn't a long way of like hands you could get on for like a while.
You did it at Rock on the Range.
Rock on the Range. Somebody made a video of it.
Oh, really?
Somebody like in the crowd was like, "Is that Ari Shaffir?" Just like videotaping the
What's great about crowd surfing is at some point you always, unless you make it all the way to the front, a lot of times you just vanish out of the scene in the middle of it. I remember watching Justin Silver one time going, we're like, oh, there he is. He's going on. Oh.
Yeah,
right. I like watching the security guards play human Plinko. And as they're coming at them, they have to like find them and catch them so they don't just get thrown over into that photography area. Good. But yeah, vibes were great.
Yeah.
Great vibes. Great fest all around. My flight was at 4 a.m. on Sunday, and I just drank all the way up till it and went and left.
Oh, 6 a.m. flight. You had like
6 a.m. flight, 4 a.m.
You stayed pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, 4 a.m. pickup.
Well, and everything.
Left my iPad at the hotel.
Wait, did they get it back?
They sent it?
And I called, and they're like, we don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, brutal. But, you know.
By the way, that hotel was a shit show, though.
That I really liked.
Jesus Christ, Michelle.
What'd you say?
There was a Gold's Gym down the shopping center.
Oh,
and
really?
And they had stair climbers, which my current gym, neither of my two current gyms has. I literally, texted Dan when I was at the gym, and I was like, I found a good gym.
That hotel was sort of a weird scene in its own right. Yeah. Some of the floors I heard was all fucked up, but in our room, first we went in there and like put all our shit in our room and had all to get, and we just stepped out from it and they like replaced chairs. Like they're just opening the doors of every room and replacing chairs. It's like,
weird.
Can you just do that?
I love the hotel.
No, it's fine. Construction was going on.
No, it was fine. No, listen, it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, but most places I've been so far are like good.
I'll tell you something about Doubletree. Those cookies late night are clutch.
Jeez. Oh. I need 14 cookies.
Apprehensive to give out, but once they do.
Once the doors are open. Once the doors of the oven are
once
open.
Once one person comes in and goes, can I get four cookies? And it's like, now everyone can ask for four cookies.
Blood in the water.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It opens up like Lawrence Taylor.
At 4:30. Okay. I can either just do it right out there and come back in.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely fine. You can do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm so stoked on this
I'm gonna
shit.
I'm going to call them now.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
What time is it? What, we all have shit to do.
Oh, come on, guys. 20 more minutes. Yeah, I think sure. We're almost done, actually. What else was I wanted to cover? Bands you were disappointed in, we got a few of those.
Yeah, I was disappointed by Florence and the Machine.
Yeah, that was really the only one that did. But I didn't come in with too high expectations.
I was really excited.
So for a disappointment.
For a while, though, she brought tears to my eyes a couple times. It was like weird because overall I was like, meh. But then I still had to reach those high points a couple times.
I think it was a disappointment. The War on Drugs was not a disappointment. I spent most of the time wishing I was watching them at night.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that how hot it was?
What about backstage?
I didn't even think about that. Just I wish I was watching them. Like that music is very inside. Like nighttime.
Yes. That's music. The same thing with Florence and the Machine.
It's very vibey. Like I said, it's like seeing the Deftones during the day would suck in that own right. You know what I mean? Seeing Tool in the daytime would blow.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's rock.
You know what I mean? It's just rock, and it's like dark rock. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be.
That's how I saw them at South By, and they were pretty great.
I saw a band, Cradle of Filth, man. I always say Cradle of Filth, headlining Ozfest second stage. They're a Norwegian, like, you know, speed metal band, basically, where they all wear.
Sure, but
they
of course wear, I know they, Cradle of Filth.
But they wear all leather. I don't know one song by them, but they wear all leather and, you know, makeup and the eye contacts and all that shit, and they just, it's like high-pitched screaming music. And they have this whole crazy show going on with a girl climbing like those, like, you know, scarves and doing that whole thing.
Yeah.
And all that shit. But that music happening and all this like weird gothic shit going on around them and then like, you know, birds tweeting and flying by, it doesn't go together. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Right. Yeah. Some music requires night bands the vibe day. Of like, I know a lot of bands will like slow it down. You know, like Band of Horses was cool to see daytime. Mellow bands are cool to see daytime. But the other bands will slow down in a day. Or if they're mellow bands and they're at night at a festival, they'll like speed it up. You know?
Sure. I'm trying to think of a good daytime band.
Belle and Sebastian.
Oh, there you go. Jack Johnson.
Johnson, yeah. Gary Clark Jr. wasn't even bad daytime.
No, that worked.
I like being close, but I wouldn't have mind being on the lawn for that guy.
I've seen Alabama Shakes twice during the day. Both times, really good.
Yeah, that's not bad day because they don't like...
She transitioned into night, though, which is cool.
She reminded me a lot of Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fucking, I don't know, the rage there.
Yeah, the belting. Yeah.
A big black Janis show.
Yeah. Man, I had a great time.
I had a great time,
Bonnaroo
too.
2015. I just took my wristband off, and I managed to get it off without cutting it.
Dislocated my finger.
I cut it. I
cut it.
Yeah.
Governor's Ball Band was better.
I was still in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah. I was still inside the festival.
Did you get home okay?
There's talk about all the lowlights.
Wow. You got home okay, Norman.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks.
So I flew out at 10:30 the next morning.
You flew out at 4.
I flew out at 6. My pickup was at 4.
Okay.
I leave at 10:30. I fly from Nashville to Detroit. Then I have a layover.
Yeah, that's on the way.
Then I have a layover from Detroit to LaGuardia. Make the flight to Detroit fine. 35-minute layover. Literally walk to the plane. Get on. We go. We board the plane. We leave the gate. We wait an hour to take off. I fall asleep. Wake up half hour later. We're still waiting to take off.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we take off. We fly to New York. I'm like, oh, I'll be home. We were supposed to land at 3:30. At that point, I'm like, I'll get home at 4:30. I have it set at 8:15. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
We get near New York. We start doing our initial approach, and the captain's like, we're going to have to circle. And so we circled.
Yeah, they said nothing was landing there.
2.5 hours we circled.
What?
In the air?
In the air.
Oh, wow.
We land in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Whoa. What?
And the captain's like, we got to refuel, and JFK's got to open their runways, or LaGuardia's got to open their runways. We're with 7 other planes here that were circling as well. So we got to take off in order. So at this point, it's 5.
Wow.
I think it's around 4:30 where we landed in Harrisburg. Around 6 o'clock... they're like, we're going to try to take off again. 7:30, we're still on the runway.
Jesus.
7:45, they're like, you know what? We're going to go back to the gate. I rented a car from Hertz in Harrisburg.
Really?
And drove me and the two people I was sitting next to.
What?
Back to New York?
To New York.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Wow. Back to LaGuardia.
Wow.
What was it, a seller spot?
No, it was the best. It was just a show at QED. It was Ted Alexandros, who's the most forgiving, nice person.
Right.
How long was the drive?
3 hours. 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Were they
minutes.
Good company at all?
They were great company.
Really?
They were awesome. We
were
just sat and talked. No.
Oh.
One guy was coming from Vegas because I was in Detroit, so no one. And then another girl was coming from like her friend's wedding. We just sat and talked.
That's pretty cool.
Hours.
My flight, you got delayed a little.
We got delayed, but what I hated, again, it's a minimal you know, oh shit story considering what you guys had to deal with. But like, they delayed ours a little bit, but it was not, we had a very short layover.
Yeah.
We're like, if we don't make that Atlanta flight, they're going to stop sending flights out. And then they kept saying that flight was on time, the one leaving from Atlanta. And we got there, and it was like, we had like a 10-minute window to get. And as we, when we land, it was a very long, like on the layover, it was like a very long taxi. And like, you see, it's like on the ticket, it says like our flight was leaving from like T1, which was like the end of the airport.
Oh. Right.
And then you're just waiting to see where you're going to pull in, like, so you can kind of get a gauge of how far away of a walk you are. And holy shit, it just kept, we were on the exact opposite side.
Ugh.
And then you get me being like a grump the whole time I run into this thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would they even make layovers in there for the entire fucking hour? Like, they can't plot the situation's better that you, like, you know.
What do you think is
the
worst thing?
Layovers used to be you'd stop and then some people would get off, some people would get on, right, and then continue through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right.
It never happens.
But
anymore.
Other people
are
in different places, right? Just the New York flight is all the way down there. Do you think that was worse for New Yorkers or 9/11?
For me personally?
Yeah. But then you got off from Atlanta to.
And we got there, and we I'd say that the hauling ass from the fucking thing and waiting for, when you're trying to haul ass to an airport, like
it sucks.
It's always
the frustration, yeah, of people who are not in a rush,
yeah. Right?
Ooh, and when people get off the phone.
When people do the moving sidewalk and they take up both sides,
yeah,
and you have to go, excuse me.
Yeah, I say it twice. Touch their back. When they go, excuse you, that's what I'm like, I don't have time.
You're like, look at the fucking thing. It's got the stick figures and everything describing.
Right,
walking on the left, standing on the right.
You know what's a good one? From a distance, just start going, move.
Move.
And then people go like this. They'll be like, who's yelling move?
As a fat guy, nothing makes me feel more alive and fast than when you're getting off the moving sidewalk. Just how like you like it's like shot you forward in life, like
it's like drifting in NASCAR.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it does feel good. I got completely canceled, but it was like a problem. I was with you when it happened
to be in
I was
a place
like, Ralph
for
is
you.
Here. He'll definitely invite me over, and he did.
When
he
I,
like, yeah, my flight was just like, nah, it ain't gonna happen.
When I was in the Middle East,
the earliest was tomorrow night at 5 p.m. And they ended up getting me off at like 1 or 2, but like just randomly. But like Ralph was like, yeah, come over. I just started a smoker.
Me and Christine actually.
Wow. It was amazing.
Me and Christine had a conversation where I was like, I always figure whether it's your combo of excessive mushroom use and weed and whatever just like is born into you. But when we were at the airport, I actually said to her, I was like, man, Ari's got something figured out because this lady who was giving him nothing but horrible news. The flight's canceled. We don't have another flight till tomorrow. Maybe even the one tomorrow is going to get you in crazy late. You could take a car. You could drive to Atlanta if you want and do from there. But that wouldn't even be till tomorrow morning. And that's maybe that might be sold out when you get there. All these crazy things. And Ari just took it. He goes, it's tough. I guess I'll just stay here. And she was like so like taken back by how pleasant the interaction. She's like, I figured it out. I'm not just going to stay at Ralphie's. And I'm like, me and that lady would be like, well, why would this fucking company allow something like this?
You know what happens? She's getting that all day.
Yeah.
By the way, that is mushrooms. It just lets me let it go.
But like, you know
this
what?
Can't right. change. I know it can't change, so I get it. Let me figure it out.
Yeah. That happened to me.
No,
in
that's
Chicago.
The way to be. That's a bunch of that's an admirable way to
delicious
be.
Delicious barbecue.
I don't have that either,
dude. In 2010, really? Yeah. Blizzard happened,
yeah.
And I had a layover in Chicago. We landed from Denver to Chicago, and then they're like, "Your flight's canceled from LaGuardia, and you're not going to get in." And this was on a Monday. They're like, "We can't get you out till January 2nd," and I had shows on New Year's Eve. And this guy next to me is just screaming at the counter agent.
You're like, "You're not going to change it."
He legitimately was like, what the fuck is wrong with this airline? You guys just shut down? All of a sudden, like, sir, it's a blizzard in New York City. And he's like, I don't fucking care. And I was just totally like, hey, is there any way I could get, like, a deal on a hotel? That's fine. I get it. You can't control the weather. And the lady was like, huh. And she was so nice about it. And she's like, you know what? I got a flight the morning of the 31st. I can get you in.
Wow. Like,
that would be great.
Yeah, by the
like,
way.
Here's a coupon for 50% off with the DoubleTree.
Wow,
Rosemont.
Really?
And wow.
Like, meanwhile, I'd be the corner spin kicking the desk. Ah! I'm going to take this. Going. You're going to feel the way I feel.
I saw her the next day, and I was like, I had that 5:30, 6 o'clock flight, whatever, yeah. And I got there early, and I was like, hey, is there any... you can't check on the flight that leaves at like 3, right? The direct? Instead of having to go to Miami and then back up?
Yeah.
And she was like, I get you on there. Just want to open up. I was like, thanks a lot. I remember you from yesterday.
No shit, really?
Yeah, because I remember making jokes about her. with her. I was like, people yelling at you, huh? She's like, yeah.
People yelling
for,
at you,
the last few hours. All flights to New York were gone the day after Bonnaroo.
Well, maybe it's a good step for me that I at least found that I was envious of your handling of that demeanor.
Yeah, there you go. Like, step one in improving yourself.
This is like one thing that I learned at when I worked on Wall Street is that the there was a boss I had who, like, she could get anything she wanted because she used to go into this. She used to do this, like, but I get that. I do get that. But can you maybe just, can we maybe just get a deal there? And, like, she did this, like, really soft sort of, like, sort of nudge that, like, made you feel safe.
Yeah. You know, it's a complete verbal version of having, like, a sugar cube in your hand.
Yeah.
And you'd be like,
yeah.
Hey. And then someone comes and looks at you like, hey, see, I don't want to hurt you. Now, about that deal.
Yeah.
Right,
it was
right.
Just like, it was like, it's like a non-condescending nice.
Yeah.
But like I learned it from her, watching her, where I was like, oh, I can get what I want if I just approach it from the other side.
Yeah, I had a pair
of standoffish. You're immediately showing I'm not going to be standoffish. You prostrate yourself almost like, hey, hey, easy. Yeah, like you said,
I ordered clothes.
You offer yourself up almost as like a victim. Like not as a victim, as like a...
You're in control.
Yeah,
the thing I always use is I always put them on my side, like, and it's us against something. I ordered clothes offline, and it got completely lost, and I called the company, and it was like this black lady was like, well, we sent it out, and she was like ready to be confrontational, and I was like, well, I'm going to fuck up the mailman next time I see it. She was like, oh, don't do that. I was like threatening violence. She's like, I'm going to send it out for you. That's crazy, because I was like, I'm going to fuck this dude up when he shows up. They got a problem with me now. And she's like, ooh, don't be beating the ass. I'm going to send you the jeans, baby. And they got there like the next day, and then the ones that were lost showed up 2 days later. And
I was like,
that's fucking great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you just got to be nice, and if you like, if you don't make it like you versus them, if you make it like us versus them, they'll always go, because that's what you did. You're like, people are yelling at you. She's like, oh, you're on my side.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I always just whine. I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss my flight.
Norman goes real hot white chick.
Yeah, like, yeah.
This is worse, like, than Ethiopia.
I was supposed to get a table
When I was in the Middle East, I was late for my flight back to America. So I got on that fucking beep thing, you know, that beep, that fucking tractor that goes through. You ever ridden in that? You feel like a real piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, because people got to get out of the way.
Yeah, it's
I
like
get really
left,
mad when
left.
I see people that don't have like a clear disability.
Yes.
Like, you don't know that they probably don't have a
That
hip
was
or
me. I was hungover.
Like,
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
You guys ever do the thing at the airport where you have a 3:30 flight to New York, and you get there early, and you see like it's a 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
You go to that desk, and you get on?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's the best.
It's amazing.
Every
That's
time I go for that, they tell me I got to pay
and direct.
Ooh. They always tell me I got to pay a bunch more money here with those.
Sometimes they do, and you want to be like, why?
Why?
It's an empty seat.
Seat's a seat.
You wait here.
Then
you can sell my seat to someone else.
Exactly. It's a power thing.
No one's going to buy it.
Right.
Oh, you hate. Did I watch the... Was it a Family Guy that really took a shit on the TSA that you would have loved?
You see what they just did? They took a picture of like the TSA like media person, took a picture of like somebody's inside of his suitcase, you know, the zipper that comes up, and it goes, there's $75,000 TSA Richard found $75,000 in this guy's briefcase, and a picture of it. It goes, does that seem like the right way to transport $75,000? And everyone's like, why are you taking pictures of that? That's not going to bring down a plane. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you taking pictures of people's shit and putting it on your social media site?
Yeah.
Get off of us.
Right.
We want you to get off of us.
Ari being all mushroomed and acid it up at Bonnaroo.
It makes me see clearly.
I know, but that's great. There was a thing like, I mean, I don't even know how he heard me. I would have said that I was far away from him. Yeah, in the VIP area, he goes, Christina says to me, she goes, oh, look, you could do the TSA pre-check thing here. Yeah. I was like, oh, really? Huh, we ain't been doing shit for a little bit. Maybe we should go do that. And Ari, just from a million miles away, just goes, don't buy back your freedoms.
Yeah, we were walking to the food tent, and you said that. Yeah. And he screamed that back.
I always bring this hair cream that's like 6 or 10 ounces. I don't know what it is.
Does this story end with them being reasonable?
They never have looked at it. It's always in my carry-on, and it's never. I've never gotten
through with all kinds of weird, like, liquids.
Knives, plenty of time.
Now I do it where it's like I try to put. I've like put more and more toiletries in where I'm just like, I'm like, they're just not going to look, are they?
You just have a gallon of Clorox, and you're like, yeah, I got to do some bleaching when I get there.
In a spray bottle.
Yeah.
I really want to get a TSA.
I check bags so I can just go loosey goose. Don't like to overthink it.
I never check a bag. Oof.
Really?
Oh, I'm always with you when I check a bag.
That's right. Yeah, and I'm always like, oh, the wolf. Here we are, TikTok.
This last one, I checked a bag because I needed to bring rain boots.
Oh, right.
Fit them in.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't end up meeting them.
Nope.
Rain boots. I went looking for them. They're hard to find around New York City.
Yeah, you gotta order them. You gotta order them.
Yeah, and order them online. Yeah.
Oh,
I check a bag. I'm not a skipping little girl going through a mall.
I do hate when I have like I have my purse with my laptop, and then I have like my bag that I'm carrying like this because it's like too heavy. And
I hate about buying back your freedom, man. But it's like, do you know how much
more convenient it is?
I would. I mean,
absolutely.
To not take out my fucking stupid.
No one should have to take it out.
Well, here's the thing. Denver International Airport, if you go through the
A-terminal...
Yeah,
a lot of times you're like, just go ahead. Keep your shoes on. It's fine today. We're in a rush today. Go ahead.
Yeah, laptop in.
That's so stupid.
Last time I was there,
just have a metal detector and a bomb dog. And now we lock the cockpit door, so none of the threats are real anymore.
Right.
So we're good. We can just wave you through today.
Every time I walk through the metal detector, they always have to pat me down, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I don't have anything on my body. Your machine is dumb.
Right.
You know why they have to pat you down? Because you work out.
Ah,
that's the reason.
Tennis pro.
Yes. They're on record. The people are on record of like, we'll just look at people. They call it a code red. Is any hot girl in wearing red? Yeah, and they're all.
I got the redhead. They're like redhead.
No, but she's a. I travel oftentimes dressed like you're dressed now, like basketball shorts and a t-shirt. No metal, nothing. And I, what should I be, the Titanic? Should I be putting on a suit or something? But well, I do that specifically so I don't have to take off a belt and all kind of empty my pockets, fucking, you know, whatever and shit. I keep my wallet in my shoulder bag and I fucking go through. But yeah, no matter what I go through, they always go, wait, I gotta like pat you like right here or something. It's almost like,
yeah, right.
What
yeah.
The fucking tea? Is it? Like, go ahead, but like. And by the way, they just like you know they just like tap and they go, you're good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Of course.
Well, someone tweet. I don't remember, but it was after Charles and someone tweeted something along the lines of like one like. All these shootings, nothing happens with guns. One guy tries to bring a bomb on a plane, and now we have to take off our shoes
every single time. That's a good point. Yeah, the shoe bomber is a bigger influence on America than, like, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
True.
And also, he got on the plane.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
The one guy that tried just got right on.
I don't know why he went into Seinfeld.
They've never stopped anyone trying to do anything. They've only missed people.
Right.
Why is he on the plane?
They're not doing even the thing they promise us, and they're invading our privacy and our fucking freedom all the time. Get off of me.
How great would it be if that's where Seinfeld went? Like against the TSA and against the government?
Give us our freedom.
Yeah.
They say that makes America feel better, though, all that security.
I heard it's all...
Security theater?
Yeah, it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, totally. The fucking
like we're seeing through it now. So why are we still doing it? Oh, because people earn money.
Yeah, the arms up.
Yeah, and how about that thing with the shit on your hands when they what is that? They wipe that thing on your hands.
I've asked that guy. That's the most challenging I've ever gotten. Is saying to them, I go, do you know what to do if this thing says something? Like when you put this, when you rub my hand with a piece of felt, like
right?
This machine, like because there's always some guy you know is like,
yo,
me and Dookie was out at the hot dog place last night.
Yes,
and
they put thing, yes.
And then you're like,
yo, that bitch got stanky ass. Yo, this dude got bomb hands.
It's like, what is that guy? What kind of action is that guy going to spring into?
Yeah, right.
And that machine is going. Oh shit, son! Like,
yo, we got a terrorist.
It's terse and her.
Hey, yo, bomb hands, you gotta stay here for a second. I gotta ask.
Yo, you got bomb juice on your hands.
I gotta go ask that corny motherfucker that's my manager what I'm supposed to do right now.
That's always weird when you're in Madison, Wisconsin. The TSA is super nice. Yeah. You're like, oh shit,
like, hey,
what is this?
Are you?
Yeah,
are you flying to go
because
see your family?
I keep pumping this club, and everyone should go to that Dead Crow Comedy Club.
Oh yeah,
when you land in Wilmington, North Carolina. The airport, it's one. It's a room. It's got like four terminals.
Wings?
It's only four terminals. You know.
Oh,
it's
I
like,
love that.
It's the front door. I mean, you could throw a fucking.
That's what the hair.
You could throw a baseball from one end of the airport to the other, and the front. It's just like a lot. It's like a hotel lobby almost, and then you just get through. Security's like, it's all carpeted. Security's like a little further back, and then.
Security's a guy named Virgil who just asks you like, hey man, how you feeling?
But they're all so nice. It really is a different experience, but you still gotta go through the motions, obviously. But there was no TSA person there who had that face of like, go, you know, go fuck yourself right out of the gates.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, dude, you have to watch this Family
that's
Guy.
That's what you find.
That shits in the TSA. Meg gets a job at the TSA, and I'm telling
really?
You, they go at it. I have a DVR'd. It is. It's they really make fun of the like the whole
South
process.
Park, great,
but they even pointed out one of the things that I'm sure you are aware of that I think is great is to go. When things about slowing down the line, I go, what are those marks you made on the ticket right there? And he's like, oh, you know, he goes, well, I have to really do some circles and make some notations on a piece of paper. No one else is going to check again. It's true. After they do all that, no one else look. When they take your thing, they just scan
really?
It. They don't look to see about the circles or the lettering or number, the whatever numbers.
Well,
they
if you
there.
Have the ticket, I have to let you in. But if the ID doesn't match, I have to make a note.
They pay them such shit that it's like, of course they're not gonna. I mean,
it's a scribble.
Oh, it is.
That's the people they're putting in charge of us.
Yeah,
right.
It's like I get it's a menial job, but like you don't get to say what I do, or if I tell you like I don't want this, to make fun of me, or like why is your button down there instead of on your lapel? I'm like I don't know, I want it there. Like it's a weird place. I'm like, hey man, I got my actual friends I want to talk to.
Right.
Am I getting felt up by a black Puerto Rican with a gold tooth?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm mad about how much time I spend. Well, in airports in general, but like in lines at airports where I'm just like,
yeah.
I feel like I could be doing something else with this, which would be, I wouldn't be doing anything. I would be
waiting at home though.
Sleeping. At home,
that's
but
better.
Like, I get so mad.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
I'm going to lose like years of my life.
Yes.
In airport lines.
You have to get there an hour early. You have to leave your house an hour early before that.
Yeah.
And then you're there. It's a whole day.
I like getting there where they're like, whew, you just made it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, huh?
Exactly.
I'll still be hating the 5 minutes I got to wait before
yes.
I board.
You know that all that shit is so stupid. The zones, zone one. Yeah. Just let us on. Like it's a baseball game. You show up when you show up. You get your seat.
How long to load a plane?
I know it's all money. That's
that
why
retarded?
It's money because they go, oh, you want to move up to zone one? $40.
Yeah.
People buy it. It's all money.
You should load it from the back forward.
I've started.
Yes,
I have
they
started.
Row, the they next should. Every 2 minutes. Yeah. Let's go.
Under a certain amount of money, I have made the decision recently though with those things that I will. Put a value on my comfort.
It's
on
an extra
plane.
Comfort. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
And I will too.
I said it was a $95 upgrade to first class recently. I was like,
oh, fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, totally. I did first class
Sleep
once.
Easy.
The bar, the dessert bar.
Oh,
have you had
yeah.
that? Oh,
when you're
my
stoned,
God.
When
the
you're
Sunday.
A good edible.
Yeah.
And they were like, do you want a chocolate chip cookie or oatmeal raisin? You look at her and she just knows. She goes,
yeah.
Do you want both? I'm
yes.
Like, yes, I do want both.
And they warm them up. They warm them.
Yeah. I get bumped up to first because of Sky Miles sometimes.
Ooh,
and it's pretty sweet.
That's the best.
Oh, I got bumped.
I just feel like they know I'm out of place. Like everybody else, like,
yeah,
oh, yeah.
No, that's exactly it. You always feel.
Especially
you always
that
feel like they're like, what did this guy do to get here?
Yeah. You're a lessor.
I want a lottery.
What right. am I?
I travel in workout clothes, but I also only wear workout clothes. But like, I always feel like they're like, what is, who owns this girl?
Right,
who brought the garbage?
Who is buying all this stuff for her?
Yeah.
All yeah. right, let's wrap up, I think.
Wait, I feel like you had something.
Oh, wait, did you?
Yeah, we smoked so much pot, that's gone.
Oh, got it.
If I do this, once the finger goes down, so the thoughts away.
It's like a mailbox that letters out.
Let's do promotion stuff, and then I'll put this at the beginning, too. Norman.
Oh, when does this come out?
Maybe this week or next week.
Uh-huh.
I'll get back to you.
Shit. Let me
wait, I remember.
Account.
Big. Oh, yeah,
oh, he remembers.
Ahead.
I do. This is a shitty thing. I had. I took one of the. I volunteered to get off a flight. Because.
Volunteered.
Wow, you do that?
Well, I did it once because.
Volunteer. Oh, yeah,
no
they
one,
pay you.
But no one listened to what the guy said. They were up to like 900 Delta dollars, which essentially was which made Christine's Bonnaroo ticket for free.
That's
hey.
$900.
Which, yeah, it was 800 some bucks. Exactly.
Flights,
so I went to the guy and just kind of asked him. I'm like, what is the guy's offering? And he goes, because I had a middle seat too, so
yeah.
I was almost very, and it didn't look like it was changing. It was a very packed flight, and I was like, fuck. And I was like, when's the next flight? He goes, an hour from now. And I go,
that's awesome.
I go, is there a window available on that one? And he goes, yeah. He goes, well, I'm going to put you in first class. So I was like, I go, please let me, don't tell anyone else about this until. And then it became a situation of me, them finding out if they needed someone to not be on the flight. And I was actually going back to the guy. I'm like,
hey,
everyone's showing up, right? And he put me on that other flight. But the bummer was, what I do a lot, I try to fly really early. So that was like a 6 a.m. flight. They moved me to a 7 a.m. flight.
Okay.
I do those kind of flights because I leave for the airport at 4, 4:30, and I'm exhausted. I stay up all night.
Tired.
So I can sleep on a plane. This was a flight to Seattle. And then what happened was, I get on the thing, and right when you start looking, like, I pulled that TV out, the big TV, and it had all these movies for free I wanted to watch. And I was like, oh, I haven't seen this movie yet. And you just click it, and then they come out, they go, would you like to order some food? I'm like, yeah. And they brought me the menu, and then just cut to 2 minutes later, I'm just like, and then I wake up and it's like, we're landing in Seattle. I'm like, I missed everything. And I see the person next to me. He's like, you know, like sitting with their belly. Whoa.
Oh,
man. You missed it, bro.
They also brought out all of your ex-girlfriends to apologize to you. You were dead asleep. You missed everything.
I'm flying business to France. And I kind of want to, I was like, it's a red eye, but I want to stay up.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Drink champagne.
They give you free booze the whole
time. Oh, yeah. Is it one of those pod ones where you get to, like,
That's Australia, and it was amazing. They gave you pajamas.
You did it to Australia? You did that to Australia?
Yeah. You know how much the flight costs?
Do you have a TV in your pod?
Yeah. Two TVs.
Two?
One that popped up this way, one that came straight up.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
UFC paid for it because it was Rogan's companion ticket. They had to fly me first class. $25,000.
Get the fuck out of here.
For a plane ticket? Yeah.
That's too much.
It is too much. I mean, I would have been like, yeah, obviously.
But it was amazing. But it was amazing.
$25,000 worth of amenities.
No. The plane is $25,000.
No Wi-Fi.
But it was fucking amazing.
No Wi-Fi. It was amazing. It was an amazing. I woke up refreshed, like feeling better than what I had gotten on the plane.
And that's not watch a movie now.
Watch a movie, jerked off in my pod.
Wow. How's that possible?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Terrific.
Wow.
It's one of the little footy socks they gave me.
Good move.
Wait, are you closed in this pod?
Somewhat closed in. I looked at the angles. I went to other people's pods to see where their opening was. Looked at the angle into
my pod. Looked everyone's dick in their pod.
Exactly.
I love the thought of Ari coming into someone else's pod and like, hey, can I help you? He's like, yeah, I just want to see the angle. This is good. He's like, what are you looking at angles
for? Just trying to find my jerk radius.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see Rod sitting here. You're good.
You got a compass and a T-square.
Yeah. Well, I stayed up later than most people.
Our findings.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Woo, pod.
Anyway, all right, let's, Michelle, you're still writing for?
Late Night with Seth Meyers.
You enjoy that? How long has that been?
A year and a half. Great.
Flies by.
You go on the road at all?
Yeah, I've been away every weekend for the past, like, month and a half. But I'm going to Dublin for a festival on the 23rd, I think.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. Mulaney's going to that.
Mulaney's going. Joe List is going.
Oh, nice.
A lot of fun. Yeah. David O'Doherty's there, so
he's cool.
He's great. And then I'm doing that Lucille Ball Festival the weekend after.
Brutal.
Where's that?
It's upstate, yeah.
It's like an hour from the airport.
It's
and
tough.
The only flight back is at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Real bad.
I will never have done that twice. I'll never do it again.
Is it the show okay?
Not really.
Oh, damn.
No, what about, not to bring you down. But
you do Twitter, Instagram, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, Michelle is a wolf. Twitter and Instagram.
All right. Wolf with no E, right?
Wolf with no E.
Okay. Sody?
At Dan Soder. If you're in Long Island, there'll be a Governor's July 10th and July 11th.
Sound system in comedy.
Absolutely. Come see a comedy show. Talk to your wife halfway through when I'm not talking about a subject you like.
Couple goots.
Then tell me, do I know your nephew who's done open mics in New York City? No. July 10th and 11th, Governor's. It'll be fun.
What about the week after that or the next date after that?
Raleigh, North Carolina, but I might have to cancel that because of something. So that's up.
Okay, and then Jay?
Going to Toledo tomorrow. Yeah, very exciting.
Come on.
No, I know. You're not putting us out tomorrow. I'll be the Gathering of the Fucking Juggalos.
Oh, my God.
Festival Comedy!
Christ. Now we're talking.
Jesus Christ, that's going to be awful.
I'm reaching out to as many fans of the Insane Clown Posse as I can, as many Juggalos as possible, to say, please.
Bring me weed. Don't
Throw human shit at me.
Isn't that like an invitation to throw human shit at you? Aren't you forcing their hand now?
I hope it's not an invitation.
No. And then I would say
it's a plea to not do that.
Please don't do that. Dan and Jay are starting a new radio program on Sirius XM July 27th.
Yes, they are.
You're doing the drive time on, what is it, channel what?
Channel 95, Sirius XM, Comedy Central Radio.
Comedy Central Radio, doing 5 to 7?
No, 6 to 8 p.m.
Eastern. So West Coast, 3 to 5. Fucking.
We had it.
3 to 5.
And then Mountain Time.
Don't fuck with Mountain Time, bro. That's where I grew up. That's Soder Town.
Grew up Mountain.
It's 2 hours behind us.
Mark Norman's got a podcast called
Tuesdays with Stories.
Tuesdays with you and Joe List do.
Me and Joe List, check it out. Good time. We'll have you on.
Do a podcast with him on Friday?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sure.
At Mark Norm on Twitter. Check out my website, marknormancomedy.com. Does anybody go to websites anymore? Is that over?
I think if they're looking specifically for you, or if you tell them about a date, they're like, oh, cool, I'll get tickets from Mark.
A lot of people
website.
Yell at me for not having that's
I'm
good.
One of those people.
No, I know you are. No, but
you said you would have it up later this week, and that was weeks ago.
I was lied to.
You don't have a
website? You have a website.
Guys, seriously.
I guess you don't need one.
No, that's just not true.
Okay, all right.
If people are like, let me find out about this person, the first resource you would go to is someone's website.
I guess you're right.
This band.
I guess you're Wikipedia.
That's the first resource.
IMDb.
And so if anyone's interested in you, they're just gone now.
All right.
You've got to have it. It's not 1997. It's so far past that. It's unacceptable. You can make them for free. Squarespace has them. You can just make them, or just hire somebody.
But my thing is, I never have it done. But I always say I want a really badass one. That's the problem.
Yeah, right. They're
so you're like, I know. I got to get some out there with some information.
Go to my web lady. $300.
No,
$300. She'll build you a pretty cool website.
Well, that's fucking cheap.
Yes, it's very cheap. She's good.
I think my shit is being handled. I just don't know.
No,
who
it's
or
not.
How. It's not being handled well.
There's no dates up there.
I don't know if this
you're
Jewish yelling is called for.
Who makes you living on the road, and no one can find out when you're on the road. Okay, fine.
All right, I'm at the Tacoma Comedy Club late July, then stand-up Scottsdale. Ugh. And then, what was that last one? Sacramento Punchline. Come out
Which that's
that.
A great club.
That's a great
good club. Good club.
Have you been there before?
Yeah, over at the Rosa there.
Wow. Oh,
I saw
a
lot of meltdowns. Huh?
They made a new dish there.
Dish?
I discovered a new dish there. Gummy fries.
What's that?
Hot out of the oven French fries, pour gummy bears all over and sprinkle them all over. I know it seems gross, but when you taste them, it's not gross. The salty and the sweet. I know. I can see your face.
Wait, gummy bears and French fries?
Yes.
I think that sounds great.
It's gooey. It becomes gooey if you get really hot.
What?
6 months
pregnant?
It's good
even with
I
didn't think I'd like them either. I just tried it for the experiment's sake, but they're delicious.
You know what else is good? Peanut butter hot dogs?
That's a meal you give a kid who just got molested. Here you go. Please, feel better. Feel better.
Sometimes when the baby's kicking.
Peanut butter hot dogs.
I will be at the DC Improv July 17th.
Jelly bean pizza.
Jelly bean pizza would be. Okay.
No.
You have to try it, I'm saying. Believe in science.
Gummy bear French fries. I think they were at Bonnaroo.
Goutine, somebody called them.
Oh, that's
good. Gluten. Goutine, that's good.
No official name, but just make them for you.
I'll try it.
Out of the oven where it's super hot. You got to pour them on right then.
And they melt.
They melt.
Oh, boy.
Please do.
That'd
be great.
Gluten.
Ooh, goutine. Like gummy bears.
Yeah.
Gummy bears. So where are you going to be? Sorry, I cut you off.
DC Improv, July 17th.
Ooh, good club. Good club.
Yeah, right.
There's one big fucking
five.
Pillar in there.
One big pillar. But they put monitors.
That's true.
Like screens on the pillar. So you're blocked, you can look up. Somebody moves stages. At least they're like, we got a problem, let's correct it.
Yeah.
Some places are like, no, it's good.
The bad part about UCB, you can't tape anything there because it's got that stupid
right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
You could get great tapes there.
I know, it's the best room in the city.
Yeah, and then it's just that fucking...
Yeah.
The pillar that's holding up a grocery store.
Right. It's right under the frozen food section.
They can't afford to. I'm not sure. They never pay anybody. All right. So thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's Rocky.
My knees getting weak and my gum might blow, but we gon' be all right.
A car, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Look, you can live at the
That's the episode, you guys. What I'm telling you right now, Bonnaroo's so goddamn much fun. I was riding high. I mean, I wouldn't take my wristband off. I just took it off like 3 days ago. I wouldn't take it off for like a couple weeks. I just felt so good from being there. I want to go every year. I asked Ralphie how much his tour bus was, but he actually owns a tour bus, so that's out of the question. But I mean, I want to go get an RV and go down there like every year. I know I'm not allowed to gonna perform every year because I got to switch up the lineup, but why not? Why not do a storyteller show there? Rocky, I never want to not be there. So much fun. Okay, I get it. I'll wait a couple years, but I want to go back. I honestly might just go. I might just go next year. Get an RV. Get like Edgar and fucking and Tony and all these people who want to do drugs and fucking hang out and watch music. Why not? Why not do that? Why not do that? How much could it cost? Probably not that much. If fucking 19-year-olds are going, why can't I go? And they have camping passes. Why can't I go? Anyway, such a fun time. Yeah, maybe I will do that. Maybe I'll just do that. Guys, please use my Amazon link at arithegreat.com. It's a big orange link. Click on it and go to Amazon. And that way, I'll be able to go to Bonnaroo next year. I'll do another podcast from Bonnaroo. If you guys click on my Amazon link enough and do your shopping through that, and I start making some more extra money on that, I know I haven't promoted it. It's my fault. But if you do that and I get some more money, then I could afford to go to Bonnaroo and treat three of my friends, and we'll be in an RV having a great ass time. I did talk to somebody, and he said he wore, who was it I just talked to about Bonnaroo? But they said they wore a it's my birthday shirt, and people just gave him drugs. It was so much fun. I saw at some point, I saw a parade, a bunch of guys in like just a non-official parade, just a bunch of guys in like football helmets and shorts and stuff, and then a bunch of girls wearing cheerleader outfits, and they were just maybe 25 of them in a line, like a conga line, but without touching. And they were just going, sports, 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 sports. It's just good vibes. It's just the best vibes you've ever imagined. God, there's no violence, just apologies for bumping into you by accident. Everyone's like, no big deal, man. It's all good. It's all good should be the motto of Bonnaroo. Because, man, it really was. From the beginning, from the getting there, driving with Justin from the airport straight there, they're going to perform to the end with Billy Idol, Billy Joel. Just good vibes, just all around, great vibes. Anyway. So that's it. Don't forget DC Improv, July 17th, 18th, and 19th. Get tickets now. It should be amazing. I love that building. I love that room. It's great. Maybe I'll do the special after this one at DC Improv. Checking off all the fucking great clubs off my list. The Store. Denver Comedy Works. My first CD. And then I guess Passive Aggressive was The Knitting Factory. Which was still fine, but not one of the things off my list. But then Cap City, ba-boom, I'm going to do it. And then I guess DC Improv. And then maybe Comedy Underground in Toronto. That's the last three. You can't get it enough. I came home, started listening to music. You guys, you got to go. You got to go. Anyway, that's the episode. That's the episode. We're done, right? We're done. So let's take us out. What should we go out with? Either, you know what? Why not go out with the best song there is? The final song from Mumford & Sons. I mean, why not go out with that? Because plus, it's all about friendship. And that's what this was. That's what Bonnaroo was. It was all about friendship. We hung out together. We fucking did everything together. It was great. Bonnaroo's for friends. Really is the opposite of Charleston. So yeah, let's go out with fucking, let me find this song. The one that Mumford & Sons played an encore. There was fireworks, then came back on, played an encore, and then did three or four songs, whatever it was, and then brought everybody back out. Dawes, Hozier, My Morning Jacket, Ed Helms. I mean, so many people, there's some people I'm forgetting too. But entire bands, and they all sang with a little help from my friends. It was fucking great. It was great. I mean, I was bawling. I was crying. So many different bands I was crying at. Florence and the Machine. And by the way, okay, let me just give you a quick example of why cell phones are getting in the way. So Florence, I'm guessing that's her name, right? From Florence and the Machine. So she goes out runs into the crowd. Like we said, you know, the songs were, some of them were hits, some of them were not. Could have used some more hits. Definitely could have used Kiss with a Fist. I was definitely looking forward to that. And Billy Joel didn't play Uptown Girl. That was one of my dreams of Bonnaroo, to watch some Cougars get finger blasted to Uptown Girl. Dream denied. What was I saying? Billy Joel. Oh, Florence and the Machine. So they played fine, but she gets so into it. She runs into the crowd. She jumps up, and there were pebbles everywhere. You could tell she's all barefoot. It was hurting her. But she ran into the crowd. We're like, that's awesome. Crying. Just crying. So fucking powerful when they do shit like that. Alabama Shakes, crying. Gary Clark Jr. got a little choked up. Just how good he is. That was the intro song, was Gary Clark Jr. God, he's good. By the way, I'm really happy I picked that song because he said, you'll know me by the time the night is done. And then we talked about him before this podcast was over. Apropos. So anyway, she runs out of the crowd, boom, gets back on stage, runs out again, goes all the way around the section we're in, and then she's in the crowd maybe 15, 20 feet away from us. I mean, it was tremendous. And then it's like she's on top of the barriers, up in the crowd, getting them all fucking crazy. I mean, really, like 15, 20 feet like behind us. We're all turned around. We're seeing it. And then she runs back, and she runs right by us. And Jay, he's taking pictures. He's taking pictures over there. And as she's like walking by us, Jay turns his camera and says, look at these shots I got. And he got pretty good shots of her, you know, from pretty up close, in the crowd and all. And he's like, look at these shots I got. And I had to be like, guys, Jay, the moment is still happening. The awesome moment where she's in the crowd. She's still 9 feet. She just walked by us. What are you looking at your goddamn cell phone? Look at the shot I got. It's happening. Make a fucking memory. It's got to be a line. It's got to be a line somewhere in the middle. Of using it, obviously I went too far. Not having a fucking smartphone. My favorite now, it was just a joke. I was taking pictures of my fucking shitty flip phone, and I tweet and I say shot on iPhone 6, you know, like the campaign. And all these people go, aha, you went back to a smartphone, or like, oh, it's too bad you went to a smartphone. And I wasn't trying to fool anybody, but I'm like, guys, that was taken on a 1.2 megapixel camera, not an iPhone. The fact that you're fooled that easily doesn't speak so well of your love for the... I mean, say what you want about it. But there's got to be a line somewhere in the middle. Turn it off at dinner. When you're eating with your friends, just turn it off. My new thing is I'm taking off the vibration from my text, so I don't even know if somebody's texting me. I'll find out later. I don't want to be having a conversation with somebody, feel the vibration, and then half my brain goes to wondering who that is, so I'm not listening to the person I'm talking to anymore. None of that matters. You guys, go to arithegreat.com for details about this podcast. I put clips of all the comics on there. Good picture of me and Norman with Norman on my back. You can get merch. Support this podcast through buying merch. There's Skeptic Tank merch. The Skeptic Tank t-shirt made by artist Monica Ikaboot. There's 2015 tour shirts in 3D. Still available. Grinders. Revenge for the Holocaust CDs. I think that's it. Anyway, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, right? We're done, right? I gotta go back. I feel like the guys that got kicked out of the Lost Island. I gotta go back. Why can't Bonnaroo be all the time? It should be. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 226. Bonnaroo, the opposite of Charleston. Seriously, Rocky, if you're listening, thank you. That was fucking great. Send me a Sasquatch. I want to go to another festival. Can I go to another festival? At least next year. So I went to two, fine. But at least next year. Let me go to Sasquatch or somewhere like that. So maybe some more. Do they have any of those big ones in England? Would they have camping? I want to go to a camping festival because that's where people just stay late. The over at 11 o'clock festivals, they're good and all. I mean, Blues Fest is cool because you can wander around Ottawa on mushrooms immediately, but like, you got to leave. And it's like, I don't want to leave. I want to sit on the grass more and keep talking after the music ends. Or in Bonnaroo, also afterwards, after the big bands were playing, they had DJs just playing till all hours. God, it was so much fun. Okay, enough, right? But Bonnaroo 2015, fucking goddamn glorious. You guys, I don't know if you know this, but this is going to be the best summer ever. Oh, and I'm going to be at Edinburgh. I'm going to Scotland for all of August. I'm going to try to play St. Andrews. Shoot a 178. My friend Avi doesn't even think I'll be able to break 200. Anyway, check out my dates. Anyone in the UK, come to Edinburgh. It's every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're doing, I think, an 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. This is not happening show. I don't know how to promote. I know you're supposed to get people to flyer shit. I don't know how to do that. So can you please, everybody, please tell people in the UK to come to my show? Because I'm probably going to lose like $5,000 to be there. So I'd rather only lose $2,000. My agent's like, why would you go somewhere to lose money? I'm here to make you money. And I'm like, I'm here to be an artist. Make money or lose money does not matter. All right, let's do it. Let's call it. Mumford & Sons, play us out.
Amazing artists and bands, and we are honored to be here amongst those people. So give it up for those people that you've seen this weekend, the people that you're seeing tomorrow. It's a fucking great festival. And if it's all right with you, we're going to invite a few of the people that you might have seen over the course of today and yesterday. Come play with us right now. Anybody see Doors yesterday? Anybody see War on Drugs? We've got their sax player John up in the corner over there. Danny Clinch going to play some harp for you over here. He's the best photographer in the world. Give it up for motherfucking Hosier. Despite the fact that they're all a bunch of dickheads, give it up for Mum on a Jacket, ladies and gentlemen. Fucking Ed Helms is here. Fucking Danny Clinch, fucking legend. This isn't our song, we're gonna play a cover. Walk out on me. Lay me your ears and I'll
sing you a song, and I'll fucking try not to sing out of key. If I
tell you, but I sure feel like my